Film Grok Studios in beautiful downtown Studio City. This is Film Grok. Today's commentary is Kick-Ass. My name is Serge Delpierre, and today we have...
Duncan K. Fraser.
Heidi Hilliker.
And...
John H. Ruby.
Welcome. So, who liked this film?
I love this film.
I very much enjoyed it.
I really like this film.
I am up in the air. This is Duncan speaking.
Ooh.
And this is coming from like a serious like martial arts buff, action buff. I've studied martial arts for 20-ish years, and I love this stuff. There's just, I'm not sure if I like it. I'll talk about that during the film. It'll be fun.
We'll definitely explore it. Okay, so the cueing point for Kick-Ass is we've paused right after the Lionsgate logo has faded out. So we're paused there. So why don't we give you a chance to do that, and we'll talk just for about another minute, and then we'll get started. So, Heidi, tell us about the comic.
Big fan of the comic. I read it ever since the first issue came out. Big fan of Mark Millar. He's a great writer. He wrote Wanted, which was also turned into a film, although not quite as good of an... I'm not saying it was a bad adaptation, but just not as loyal. But understandable. Sometimes it is hard to translate the fantastical world of comic books into a movie. However, Kick-Ass was done almost exactly as it is in the books. Really? And I don't know. I was anticipating it for a long time.
How long is it? When did it first come out?
It came out, I guess 2008, I believe, was when it first came out. Yeah, it took a little while. It was running, you know, sometimes some of these more independent published books or like limited series don't come out every single month on time, like the bigger names like Superman and X-Men and things. But it it was being written in tandem with the shooting. The whole second half of the series was being written while they were shooting the film. So that, I think, slowed up the process a little bit as well.
And doesn't the comic at the end deviate from the film?
Yeah, it's slightly different, and it's not as open-ended.
Okay.
So, you know, I think that that's, again, the difference between a comic book and film. You do have to kind of alter it slightly.
Right. John, structure-wise, overall, how did this fit into...
Oh, yeah. Perfect. I mean, it's wonderful. Yeah, we'll see it. It hits, it's like an hour and 45 minutes long. Yeah, it's a great structure, beginning, middle, and end, and it's got all the points in between. And what's really fun is what I really liked, and I actually rewatched the second half, one, because I really liked it, but then also some of the things I'll bring up. But it's fun that there's a really sort of like two or three different stories at the beginning, and then they all start pulling together, you know, at the 15-minute mark, and then they really pull together at the half mark, which is, or the 30-minute mark, the second act, which is you know, which is just another way of telling a story of, you know, different storylines and different people, and they all pull together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun, and I'll tell you the points along the way.
That is...
And what's neat is, and the very fact that you asked the question, which is so fun, and my whole point of structure, not formula, which is structurenotformula.com, is that it's formula
good
is...
Good to know.
Thank you. I'll tell you later if you want me to.
$20 every time.
There you go. Is that, you know, formula is really boring. 2 + 2 = 4, no creativity. It's the same thing, exactly the same. Structure means you bring your own creativity, and ideally no one ever sees the structure, because if they're creative enough, you're showing them something different. It doesn't make them reference another book or a different movie, so then they just enjoy the whole story and they don't even know there is a structure underneath it.
Right.
So it's I had a good time. It was fun.
Cool.
And what about you, Serge?
I anticipated this film so much, and I saw it in the theater, and it was awesome. Really, really, really enjoyed it. And I waited until, you know, the Blu-ray came out and bought it the first day. I haven't done that in a long time, that I really wanted this DVD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you actually sent me an email saying that you were on your way to buy it.
Wow.
I got the text message version.
And then I tweeted, guess what I just got?
Wow.
That's how excited I was. So, okay, on that note, let's get the movie started. So I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1, play, and you will too, and we'll all be in sync on this film. So, on that note, 3, 2, 1, play.
I want to say something, Duncan. I don't know if this was your experience or not, because you're hesitant upon if you really like this or not. It was really funny. At times I wanted more action, but when they actually delivered the action, it was satisfying. So it was like really weird. At times I was like, this isn't an action movie. I'm not getting enough action. But then the action came. You want to say something about the clouds?
Oh, I want to talk about the clouds at the beginning. Yeah. I saw this at the beginning.
Circle back.
Yeah.
I mean, what does this remind you of? Superman. There's two things going on here. One is it's reminiscent of Superman, but also, I mean, one of the ways to tell a story is it's the stories of gods who come down to Earth to live out their story. Sort of like when we saw Rocky, the first shot is of the gods, and then it tilted down. Now, the interesting thing here is that it starts out with his narration and continues quite a while with his narration. He's essentially our entry.
And this is a funny, excellent way to open this. Man.
And this is exactly how the comic starts. Not the clouds, but this opening
with this guy.
With the narration. And he does narrate all throughout the comics.
Cool.
Now, does he narrate the Hit Girl and Big Daddy part? Because he doesn't in the movie. That's the interesting thing, structure-wise.
I'm pretty sure he only narrates things he knows about.
Right. So, I mean, this was kind of given away because we saw this in the commercials. Of course. So it wasn't a big surprise.
I didn't. Oh, you didn't? I usually try not to watch trailers, believe it or not.
And how did you take this beginning?
It was excellent because I was assuming that he was going to swoop up at first.
Which would
have made it a whole different, which would made it a different story.
But I didn't think it would because the wings were not aerodynamic and nothing shifted to give him any lift. Just saying.
Right.
A lot of times superheroes wear wings that don't give them flight. It's just, you know,
gliding ability.
Right, but this is, I didn't read the comic beforehand, but I knew that this was based on the real world with real physics, real people. Yeah. Like, that's the premise.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So looking at that, I'm already like, oh, this guy's so going to crash and burn.
Yeah.
What I was confused about is the taxi with the kick-ass license. I thought they'd circle back around to that later in the film, but they didn't. Right. Like, that doesn't really... They show that he has a bunch of different license plates in his room later that say kick-ass, but...
I think that was just creative license.
Yeah, I just think that was...
Interestingly, side note, I also had the superpower of being invisible to women in high school.
Oh, nice.
I think you shared that with a lot of us. I think I was part of that club, too.
You know, just writing-wise, nice. I love the fact that he's got just friends that aren't, like, super... and super mean or super loser. They're just normal. I like that a lot.
I think the casting of the friends was well done.
Friends who don't wash their hair.
Because they're gross nerdy boys. That's why girls don't like them. Yeah. They don't wash their hair. Yeah. Nerdy boys out there. There are nerdy girls and they'll like you, but please wash your hair.
That's right.
I like trim your neck.
I like the poster on his wall that was basically a poster of Atlas.
Oh, nice. Oh yeah. I didn't notice.
I didn't notice until
I noticed now.
There
yeah.
It is now. Yeah.
That's funny.
And this is very teenage boy.
It's also kind of creepy because she looks a lot like my aunt. Hair color and everything. I'm just like, this is disturbing right now.
That's great.
That was a funny shot.
Now, it is. Now watching all this, I was like, I haven't seen any films really kind of, you know, push, I guess, these limits recently.
Yeah.
And it was kind of refreshing. Odd. Yeah. But
by the way, did you notice the brand insertion right there? Gap tag center.
That's right. Yeah. Cancer from the Gap. Congratulations, Gap.
Right. Yes.
You are now associated with masturbation. Congrats.
Yeah. Way to go.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, Serge, and yeah, I mean, people, it's one of those topics that people don't address a lot, and I think it does sort of lead you toward knowing what kind of film this is about to be.
Sorry.
Classic mistake, by the way,
that's happened to me. Was funny, Heidi?
Has it?
I just thought that was hilarious how the girls catch him.
Yeah.
And that look she gives him.
Yeah.
Because that total judgment.
Because that happens all the time. Oh, man.
But there actually is a lot in this movie is added that's not in the comic books. You know, they more develop his friends, the relationship with the friends. They more develop his time at school. They much more... develop his relationship with the girl. It doesn't go...
Yeah.
It's actually... There's no kind of...
Fornication? Is there any fornication in the comic book?
Not with her.
Okay.
With her.
This is weird.
He's a little bit more of a loser in the comic book.
That was weird.
Yeah.
When she died.
And I'm glad they didn't do that in the movie. What? I mean, I liked him not making a total loser. I love the fact that her mother just died there. That was awesome. Very unexpected.
Now, I've watched this movie twice now.
Right?
And I have a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
Demographic is this film supposed to be? Is it supposed to be for people more in the 30-something range that had these nerdy experiences in high school? Or do you think they're actually trying to loop in teenagers? And
notice
can you comment
Marvel,
on that,
sorry.
Having read the comic?
I think that the age range that they're probably shooting for is that like stereotypical male age range, probably, I would say, you know, 18 to maybe 30, and probably, you know, that kind of thing where it becomes appealing because maybe it's targeted towards 18 to 30, but then that means like teenage kids, like teenage guys, probably like 14, 15, 16, 17 are going to be really interested in it because of that.
But this is rated R, right?
Or teenagers with arrested development like me.
But it's rated R, right?
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Well,
this is R, definitely.
That is definitely one thing that was interesting to me about the film that is one factor in why I'm not sure about it, is because it feels very much like, I mean, the main characters, really, when you get down to it, are the teenagers and then the younger girl.
Right.
And that usually spells teen movie. But in this particular case, the content of the film doesn't. It's more for adults.
Yeah.
Right?
So some of the jokes. But real quick.
It's hard to relate to them is my point.
They did the classic question there, and the classic question that is the whole hypothesis of the movie is somebody without superpowers, if they try to be a superhero, they'll be dead in one day.
Right, which is the whole premise, which is why it's kick-ass, because he gets his ass kicked.
Which, of course, also is foreshadowing, because the first time he goes out, he really gets jacked.
Yeah.
Lucky to be alive.
Well, yeah.
And he gets
look, my name is on the back there, one of the guys next to the Dark Horse, Duncan.
Oh.
How often you see that name?
I guess if you read Hellboy, you see it quite often.
I suppose I would. Thank you for that.
Now, this is what, Aaron Johnson, I think is his name? Can you have me the cover?
McLovin.
No, that guy.
Yeah, that's McLovin. That's Christopher Mintz Plasse.
Yeah.
What's really neat too is they actually had a moment there where they could have been friends. Villain guy and him. You know what I mean? Or at least that's how I interpreted it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But Johnny Gargano. Yeah, this guy's name's Aaron Johnson, he actually was in it's a movie about John Lennon.
The main kid.
Yeah. That I think it's called Lonely Boy. I don't remember what it's called. Now here's an interesting. Oh, this happened several times. I don't remember. Oh, yeah.
Pussy.
So this is what I would interpret the inciting incident.
Now, this guy actually shows up later. That guy in the window, he's the guy who runs over Kick-Ass when he gets stabbed.
Are you sure that guy didn't have glasses on?
No. You just watch for it.
I'm going to watch for it.
It's like when I saw it the third time, I was like, oh, that's the same guy.
I don't know. I think the guy in the car has grayer hair and no glasses.
Well, we'll see. We shall see.
I do like this feeling, though, that comes out a lot in Mark Millar's work is just, and I don't know if I have like a really eloquent way of putting it, but it's just how a lot of his characters, like in Wanted, for example, as well, you know, it's just regular kind of douchebaggy guys or like, you know, people who are just pushing paper and living the life, like trying to then go on and do something a little bit
more.
And whether or not that's something that's really good for society or not, it's just living more, having more at stake, you know, really kind of pushing your parameters and not just sitting around on your butt all the time.
Right.
And which is interesting because, you know, like the audience that this is geared towards are what people would think are the kind of people who sit around on their butt all the time, reading comic books, playing video games, watching TV, living in their parents' basement, you know, and he's finding...
Listening to film, Grok?
No, these are all intellectuals.
That's right.
Oh,
boy. But I like that he goes right to his target audience and says, you could be more than just what you are.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
And what I like, actually, is that... Yeah, John?
Well, real quick, story-wise, so the inciting incident with them is the boys is having somebody else watch and not do anything.
Okay, yeah.
And then the inciting incident, we jump immediately to the inciting incident of this guy saying a superhero stealing drugs. Mm-hmm. And then we're right after this, I believe we're going to be introduced to the other two.
Yeah, this guy being, I don't remember what his name, but whatever, it's Red Mist's father.
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Story-wise, they make a real point of this guy, them going back and forth about he looks like Batman. He doesn't look like Batman. Right. Yeah, that it hurt.
Right.
Do they do that in the comic? Because it seems like a really good tool in a movie to just let the audience know, hey, this guy's going to look like Batman. We know he looks like Batman. Maybe it's kind of intentional, but anyway, it's there.
In the comic book, you get no foreshadowing of a Big Daddy and Hit Girl. They just kind of come out of nowhere.
Mm.
Like, because you're just following his story. You're just following Kick-Ass. So when he meets people, that's when you meet people. So there's nothing before
it. Oh, so we don't see any of this.
Interesting.
Nope.
Oh.
Interesting. Yeah, see, this is more of a film
see, that's
kind
interesting
of
they added this.
Method to... Right. Let you know ahead of time so there aren't too many
surprises.
So
what do they call that in the story? It's single person, or what do they call it when it's single point of view?
Right.
It's his point of view.
Which is commonly done. Yeah, you can do that in a movie too, but which is...
It's a lot harder.
It's a lot harder. It's a lot less, you know, because a movie's much more... It's a broader way of telling a story, so you can utilize these things. It's more intimate when you're reading a comic book series to follow one person.
Right.
It feels more, you know...
Yeah.
It's you going on that journey.
Right, right.
I like the fact that they just basically missed paths.
Yep.
You know, in other words, Red Mist and, well, this guy.
Oh.
Could, you know, Kick-Ass could have been friends, but
yes,
if they could have just met, but essentially Red Mist was insulated so much.
Yeah. That was
a great
shot.
A great transition.
I love that
That's a great transition to him being in the suit.
Yeah.
And the suit looks great. I had no idea, because the artwork in this book is it has this kind of... this kind of like unfinished, kind of almost like childlike look about it. It's beautiful artwork, but you don't really know how they're gonna translate really detailed things like the costume and, you know, very like the weapons and things like that. How that's gonna be translated into something really tangible,
right?
So you feel like this was a good like this looks like the finished version of what was unfinished in the comic, or
yeah, I think because you just don't. I guess, you know, it's hard to know what it's going to look like, what the texture of a costume is going to look like, because that's not all, you know, a lot.
It's not spelled out in the comic.
Right, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of open.
Now, this has got to be...
I love the meanwhiles, too, and everything.
This is
oh,
great.
Yeah, that was great. The most awesome character introductions.
Yes.
Ever.
Yeah. Yes.
I totally
this is,
concur.
This is
it's
great.
Like, okay, here's what's going on. Deal with it. Yes.
And it just illustrates, I mean, this is, you know, the world that Kick-Ass is trying to get into. They live in this world, and they don't screw around.
Yeah.
Right. It's not just some fun after school activity.
Right. Exactly. Right. And they have no superpowers. So they basically depend on what they can endure.
But there's no darkness. This is the real interesting thing to me about these guys. They really are killers. Like, they go out and kill all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's just kind of every day to them. And they still have, apart from those factors. Awesome. I'm going to, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm going to go out and shoot my daughter in the chest three times.
And actually,
so she can get used to it. It's
right.
Very important. He's just. Right. Teaching her how to get used to it.
Well, kind it makes
fun,
sense.
Huh?
Yeah.
In this world, it
if
makes sense.
If you were going to do that.
But see, I didn't take that they killed anybody yet.
I
interpreted that they haven't gone on any rampages yet. I thought
this,
it was Kick-Ass that inspired
like
them.
No. Because if you later when they talk about the backstory,
oh, you're right.
He already had the, idea because
you're
he's
right.
Putting the mask on her when she first comes to him at 5 years old. So
and then you see,
like
in the room, like all
later.
The different sketches that he has of people that they've gone
and they're
after.
They're equipped. Okay. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of some of these things now, like what I was saying before, you don't know any of these things when you're reading the comic book series until he first encounters them. There are flashbacks once you know, once the characters have been introduced to Kick-Ass, you do get fed some of their backstory. So this isn't all completely fabricated for the film.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. This is awesome to look.
Yeah. It's just great the way they just basically twist their values. They completely
just fucking
them.
With your daddy.
Nothing like hearing a 10-year-old swear.
Yeah.
But she handles it so well. You have like no idea how a little kid is going to be able to handle this.
Yeah.
I mean, when this is revealed at the end of, I think it's like the end of issue like 3 or something like that, and then all of a sudden it's that big reveal that you'll see later on where she like stabs the guy with the katana.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then like the guy falls and you look and it's just this little girl and you're just, and it's the last page. You know, and you have to wait a month or two to see what's going to happen. You're like, holy crap, that's a little girl.
That's fun.
What does this mean?
And circling back to what you said, John, I don't seeing her fight those guys and kill those guys later, I know it's not the first time out because she's not pausing to go like, oh, crap, I just killed a guy. That's a new thing, you know?
Point well made.
You know, it's interesting that they just went from the picture of the teacher and showing her breasts to him, and he's not paying attention anymore.
Right. He's consumed with the superhero thing.
He's into the superhero thing.
Now, this is brilliant. This is good thinking right here. He's actually testing the distance to make sure he can do it before he goes up there.
Right. I like his work boots.
Yeah, those are the best. Just it's like you went for the color, but like, how are you going to run in those?
I know.
But at least if something ran over your foot or something, if you stubbed
right,
your toe, you'd be okay.
I think me personally, I'd probably put like some like sandbag kind of fillers in the gloves, though. You know, make them like
I don't know
what they call them, but it's like a sap, but it's gloves. No, they're real things. It's like powdered lead or something that you put inside, so it's heavy. When you punch somebody, though, it's jacked.
That's awesome.
I love that he realizes, like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Right? I'm totally not going to make that.
but the interesting thing, this comes up again when he first meets Hit Girl and Big Daddy, because then he has to make the jump, and he doesn't. And then I realized, oh, it's all symbolic. In other words, for him to make that leap, then symbolically he'd become a superhero. And then when he has to still make the leap like they did, he still can't do it.
This is great.
Oh, and he never does, by the way.
Yeah.
They don't come back to
that. Well, that's right. They don't.
This is first issue. This is like...
Oh, okay. So they've kind of mixed it around a bit.
Yeah. This is what gets you sucked in.
So in the comic, they start with him already doing the superhero thing, and then they circle back to give you backstory? Is that what you mean?
No, they give it to you. It just gets you get there quicker, and you're not learning... In the first issue, you're not learning anything about any of the other ancillary characters. You know, you're only learning... You see the big thing in the beginning with, like, the guy who can't be a superhero, and then he backtracks it to him and how, like, he needed motivation and what would a superhero be like, and...
Right,
this
I
is
gotcha.
Like the end of the first issue.
I like how he's just like, "What the hell?"
I know, yeah, but who wouldn't be though? Who wouldn't
right.
be?
No, but this I'm talking about Kick-Ass. And then he says, "Wait a minute."
Yeah.
And then
he remembers.
He assumes the role.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. He waxed one of them.
Cheap shot.
Yep. And this is where you know it's like on. This is where you know that what you're experiencing
is real.
Yeah.
Well, and that it's not like anything else you've experienced
in
the genre.
It's not like a standard superhero flick anymore.
Exactly.
Right. That this really is why regular people, this is a thought people, I'm sure fans and geeks, and even if you're not, have thought of since, you know, the beginning of the 19th century.
That surprised me, by the way. That really
totally surprised me.
That's the same guy's in the
window. I don't think
so. He was the guy in the
window. No glasses, grayer hair.
No, the guy did not have glasses in the window.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did have glasses on.
I'm going to have to go, no, he did not.
Yeah.
So super did.
That was great.
I would bet some money on that. But I'm not saying I don't think it's the same guy.
I think it's the same guy.
Either way, it's some pussy is what the point
right.
is.
But that was my point.
The adults
that,
are not
that was my
up.
Point, is that not only does he observe it and not do anything, but then he actually contributes to it, and he still doesn't do anything.
Well, who said he... Oh.
Another, he's
You're
just
assuming
off.
He's the same guy. Got
yeah,
it.
I was assuming he's the same guy.
Even if he's not, he's functioning as the same type of a person.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You guys think it means anything that his neck brace is like pink and yellow, like sort of feminine type...
Probably. They just judged him.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or does it just look pretty on the screen?
You want the pink one or the blue one, Bobby? I'll give you the pink one. He's a wuss.
Oh.
By the way, I love some of the organized crime sort of banter stuff here. Mm-hmm. Probably nothing to do with real organized crime guys, but I love them in movies, and I love that kind of banter. He's like, it's like, why don't I get a gun? Like, he's just going, it gives you a little farcicalness, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
it
doesn't really keep you in the super serious realm where
we've
sort of been so far.
Right.
You know?
And this is all farce.
And I like
farce.
That they actually bring us through the whole thing. Actually, what they've been doing is they've been setting up visually the whole layout, which is important at the end.
Right.
Yeah. So in other words, we've come through the front,
we've
come up
the
elevator,
right.
We've got the whole hallway. So we know the geography,
right.
basically, and all plays later.
Except, though, I thought that hallway went into his office, and now it's
no,
into
his
the
office
dining
is
room.
Off of that
it's
hallway.
It's off of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is what we're going to find out now. You say, let's go talk, so they walk to the office. I mean, they could have just cut to him in the office, but this way we get to be introduced to Red Mist and
There would be no other purpose of this, if not to introduce us, you know, and
also,
give us
the
geography.
Also the outside, the balcony.
Right, right.
So just to let you know, this is like the 15-minute mark.
Six. Like he's giving him permission.
I love the concept too that like even if your dad is some like big badass yeah. mob leader, you can still be like the nerdy kid yeah. that doesn't have a right. place, you know?
Totally.
It doesn't, I mean, you this isn't something you're necessarily born into. It's mm-hmm. just, yeah. it's your unlucky straw, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And they reference that later when he's like, comic books, my kid reads all the time, when he's coming up with a plan to like go get the superhero.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. So this is the 15 minute mark. So all, we find out what this movie is about. One is he puts on the outfit. He gets beaten up. It's all real. Mm-hmm. It's not a superhero. Then we learn that the other kid wants to be part of the dad's business, and that's his journey, is how to become part of that. And then we learn that there is a guy dressed up.
Beautiful
whatever.
Art direction, by the way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, the guns pointing
yeah.
at each other
yeah,
also.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the, I love that I like mark, the, on, the his mark on his forehead. Yeah, it's like, who made that? Yeah. And then, of course, we go to this.
And that's very cool.
Now I have a question about this, because this is where it goes into the flashback scene, right?
Or no, shortly. That's when the other cop comes in later.
Oh, when the other cop, yeah, that's right, he's reading it, that's right. But was that flashback stuff in the comic like that, or did they just create that specially for the movie?
Some of it is. Some of it is. There is flashback of that gives you a little bit more of their story, for sure.
Is it the artwork from the comic, or is it completely created? Was the artwork completely created for the film?
The artwork on the wall?
No, I'm jumping ahead a little, but when the cop comes in and reads the, you know, Big Daddy's background.
Oh, no, that's for the film. That's
okay.
for the film.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, yes. you know what's really ironic? A little weapon knowledge here.
Yes.
She wants a Benchmade, right? Those are Benchmade brand knives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the symbol for Benchmade is a butterfly.
Okay.
It's just a little cute butterfly, which is kind of ironic, I think, to me. The little kid wants a Benchmade, yeah. you know, knife with butterflies
right.
on it.
And also, since you know about knives, Duncan, right?
Yeah.
Is she handling that pretty well?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little, she looks like she's doing it like she's a cheerleader. But it's still fast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's interesting to me is that, you only have to hold one side of a ballet song if it's only single edged.
Mm-hmm.
You hold the side, you know, it's two parts of the handle. You hold the side that's dull and you can spin it however you want to. It's just a matter of doing that fast. I can do it fast, but, you know, she's not bad.
Right. Nice.
I love this scene. I love that.
I'm sitting here playing with my dad's gun.
Look how awesome that bar is, too, by the way.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, that's great.
It's
Skyline Bar.
Amazing. Who doesn't want this office?
Yeah. Totally. Totally.
I almost want to be a bad guy.
Right?
Actually, they just planted the gun, because the gun plays in the last scene.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the way, his orange/red gi here, his karate gi. The standard mob. We don't have the vise to put his head in, so we're going to use the microwave, the treat slumper.
Yeah, Bobby took it home to make some woodworking, and he left it
right,
at home. And
right.
So now we... Yeah. And I like this. I mean, it's...
Well, I like how they treat it. It's just like, okay, these guys, he's trying to run a business, and the usual crap of trying to run a business and depend on other people.
Right. And who didn't know what was going to happen, though? Right.
Right, yeah.
And not only that, like, the guy sets it for 5 minutes. Like, you put anything in a microwave for 5 minutes, it's going to die.
Yeah.
I mean...
You can't even put a piece of bread
dinner.
In for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah,
right,
Cup of water. A cup of water will be vapor in 5 minutes. I mean...
And I like how they're just like, well, what do you all think is going to happen?
Yeah,
they're like,
right?
They're all dumb as rocks.
Oh, they're all... Yeah, meatheads.
It's like, now,
classic
you guys understand
meatheads.
When you use the vice, you do like, you know, one turn at a time and then ask him more questions. Like, that would equate to like, you know, 10 seconds in the microwave and bring him out,
right.
then talk, you know, but
it's
a freak, it's a freak show now. It's like, we got to see what happens. They can't see it. They can't see the rays, so they don't get it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh.
30 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking what he says, that he looks like Wolverine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Love that.
Man, now, that's a lot of metal in his body.
Now, I have a question, Miss Comic Book Person, expert. You, how long did it take for him to recover from this in the comic?
I mean,
Watchmen.
Nice. Obviously, like, we're not going to watch him recover. So I think they do. You know, I think it's just that vague. Sometime later. .. Or, you know, I'm not sure if they give like a specific. I mean, they indicate that it takes. I think it's generally indicated that it takes quite a while for him to recover, but they don't, I don't think, give a specific amount of time. They just get back to the story.
Yeah, I mean, it is make-believe time in the sense that this is real world, so to speak, but it is make-believe time because it would take like at least 6 months to recover. And school's still
even
going
a high schooler,
on.
Dude, physical therapy, that much metal in your body? Your bones that fractured?
Well, and they imply year, that he years, hasn't, like, they have implied he hasn't been in school in like a really long time. And I mean, all of that is put in there. I just, they don't give like, you know, it's just vague.
Yeah, we buy it. We accept it.
Right. This is a funny scene. I love this is showing you how little pain he now feels.
Yeah.
Right. On top of showing you the metal in his body earlier, and that just helps you believe it more later.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and it's a great superpower to get. That's fabulous. It's like the weakest superpower ever to get is not to be able to feel pain.
By the way, though, girls that also don't wash their hair might be attracted to guys that don't wash their hair. Just saying.
Ew.
Well, she doesn't look like she washes it that often.
Yeah, she does.
Or maybe it's a lot of product. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like she's got some hairspray to make it wavy.
Yeah.
Crunchy.
But I like that, though, because, you know, like a normal teenage girl would put too much product in her hair. You know, like, I mean.
Oh, good point.
I think that that's what's. They actually do a pretty good job of making this seem like a real high school or like real high school age people.
Yeah, actually, I definitely see that. Like, I wasn't pulled out at any point by any of these people feeling like they weren't.
Right, like too Hollywood.
And a lot of movies make that mistake.
Oh, speaking of Hollywood, this was shot in Toronto.
Nice.
Get it? Yeah. So was Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which comes out soon.
But Scott Pilgrim actually takes place in Toronto.
Yes, it does. This takes place in New York.
Yes, it does. Theoretically.
Theoretically. I love it.
So funny. I did not see that coming, by the way, because I don't know how high schoolers think, but that totally makes sense. He's like found without clothes.
Right.
So be like, oh, he's still gay.
Right.
Well, and like, and then he has to tell a story to his dad, because in the thing, I forget if they show this in the film, but like after he goes through that like violent episode, like they talk about how he had to explain to his dad what was going on, and he hides the costume when he's all like laying there all bloody. They find him naked because he like takes off the costume. He doesn't want anybody to know.
In the movie he said he convinced the ambulance guy to hide his
comic book he actually takes it off before anyone gets there to help him.
I'm not sure if it's he takes it off or the ambulance takes it off. I think he may actually take it off, but he may actually be found. I don't know.
Okay, by the way, the speed with which he pulls those things out, I was actually kind of impressed. Like, I mean, it's not exactly the easiest coordination to learn.
Really?
And there, I mean, did this guy have any training in the comic book? Because, like, he has
No.
And by the way, the fight choreography in this, I like his because it seems pretty obvious he really doesn't know anything.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, my gosh, I love this. Okay, I love this use of making it, like, so, like, current, you know? Like, like, because if there was a real superhero, it would totally have a MySpace page.
Right.
The world we live in. It would Twitter. It would, you know, probably have someone write its own blog. I don't know. You know, hire someone.
Right. Totally. I wonder if this is a reference to Superman, because if you remember, like, in the first Superman film with Christopher Reeve, one of the things that he does is he goes and rescues a cat out of a tree in the first sequence of, like, saving people. After he saves Lois Lane with the helicopter and he's going through all, one of the things, he floats down and saves a little cat.
Right.
I just think that's funny. I don't know if it's correlation or not, but.
Well, I think some of those, like, I think saving a cat from a tree and helping an old lady across the street and some of those things are, like, the iconic, like, do-gooder, you know, Superman type-ish things to do.
Right.
Right.
By the way, I think that would have been funnier if he had gone into some place, not shown the money and the product at the same time. The clerk freaks out, chases him out with a bat or something, and then he falls and trips the guy.
Yeah, right. That would have been great.
Well, I mean, I think it worked fine because here he is. He's a superhero, and he goes in, gets
like
a drink.
He already knows, okay, like, look, I've got the money. Here's the product. And the guy's like, okay.
You know, I'm just like, oh, is there a problem with, you know, I'm just walking around. I'm
there's no attention to it, like, because he lives in a world where, like, a freak could just come in some weird scuba diving outfit. And, like, you know, that cashier looks at him like, yeah, I've seen Stranger.
Right. It's like, you're pretty weird, but I've seen,
And I like that, you know, basically he tries to help the cat, and because doesn't succeed, he basically winds up in this situation.
He instigates the situation.
But he still ends up being the hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that he swore at the cat before he fell. That was brilliant.
Ooh, that's a nice
blood splatter. Yeah.
And by like, the way,
and here he goes, and watching this, I remember it's like, damn, and he's going right into it. And he's gonna,
and he's just swinging, you know, yeah, like no, he doesn't totally, know what he's doing.
Totally, right.
It's just all like adrenaline yeah. and just like
yeah. right,
which makes him much like really believable as just some kid that decided right. he wanted to be a hero. Yeah,
right,
totally.
And he keeps on fighting on. Of course, the weird yeah. thing is, someone's watching.
Yeah.
And he still keeps on going.
I got to say, he is thinking right now. He says, call 911.
Yeah.
Well, he learned from the last time, clearly.
Right,
yeah.
No one calls 911.
Yeah.
I love it.
They're just like, we got to record this for MySpace.
But there's so many things that are believable about this. Yeah, yeah. I think that this is a little, you know, overwhelmingly, you know, I guess... a cheesy kind of reaction, and it's silly, but I think people would just do that, honestly.
Mm. Yeah,
very
no,
well could.
Seriously.
Very...
I think maybe the owner of the shop might call.
Yeah.
Just because it's his parking lot.
Right. But
or her parking
like,
lot.
Responsible citizenship, that's like not very popular these days, or at least not normal.
Well, it's not easy being a responsible citizen, that's the thing.
No, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Last time I saw a car accident, like 15 people called it immediately. So,
yeah.
Well, I
mean, right. this is a bit of a movie thing. Also, I mean, do we really ever see, I don't know. I mean, thugs.
Three guys
the thugs
beat
are
up on one guy.
Exactly. I mean, that it is a bit more movie. It's not like it doesn't,
hey,
it does not like
you
it
know
doesn't
what?
Happen.
No,
but
I called in from my apartment, second floor. I saw a guy hit a guy and throw him in a trunk.
Wow.
And I called it in, and I kid you not, the cops came. It took 5 minutes, but they hadn't left yet. So they came. It was freaking weird. And I talked the cop through it on my
wow.
cell phone to find the guys in the bushes across the street. I'm like, turn around. So they talked to dispatch. Dispatch said, turn around. I said, he's underneath the thing. They went over there and found him under the bushes. I was like, that was freaking
That's
cool,
awesome.
Man.
Wow.
It was.
John,
cool.
You are a superhero.
You are a superhero. A real live one.
Officially.
And you didn't even have to have your ass kicked.
No. On top of which, I must say that I love the green shirt you're wearing together with the Green Lantern ring that Sarah just gave you. That's great. And you're gesturing at the television with it. It's awesome.
You're part of the Kick-Ass Club down there.
He kind of is.
You are.
That's cool.
You kicked ass. Wow, John.
I love the... he's not only swinging the sticks, but like his legs like kick out to random size just every now and then. It's just awesome.
And of course, it's on TV.
Yeah, of course.
And they have no idea.
But it would be because no one does ever do this.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, would it be okay? Realistically, would it be on TV? Like that, or would they be, oh, someone caused a disturbance and that kind of thing? And
well, if you put it on the internet, it would be viral. And if it went viral, like I think the viral thing is really more the reason why it would be on the news.
Right. No, the viral thing I could see. Not that we're encouraging anyone to do anything like this. Like the kick-ass stickers on the
left.
Everything's kick-ass.
Remind me, was the guy who made this involved in any way with Watchmen?
No.
Okay, because
no,
it's really interesting.
Too young.
The outside
comic.
Of the comic book store they go into has a much very yellow theme, and it's got like radioactive symbols and stuff. Very reminiscent of Watchmen.
It's
Plus,
cool
we
that
saw the Watchmen graphic novel.
It's cool that they have Craig Ferguson. They didn't go to like Jay Leno or David Letterman. They went to Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, maybe that was the only deal they could get.
Maybe. Although Jay Leno's a little cliche.
It's a perfectly fine deal. Craig Ferguson rocks.
Yeah.
Nick Cage is awesome in this, man.
Can I add
is awesome. I love him.
Definitely. I got to add a PS2.
Yes.
PS2, that's a game system. That's not what I meant. What I meant is, PS, he looks a lot like my dad in this film.
Oh.
You're like, yeah, Nicolas Cage, like the mustache, the hairstyle,
the
skinniness, like totally looks
from
like
him.
My dad.
Yeah, that classic.
Noticed that.
Midwestern dad.
Mm-hmm.
How the wife did what?
It's pulled away. She was holding his hand, and they were enjoying the show, and then he started talking about he's going to be dead and da-da-da. And
I got 100 guys that can take care of a problem for you, and she's, that's good.
But she didn't say anything because she's married to the mob boss.
She's willing to overlook some stuff to get what she wants in life.
Yeah.
P.S., this comic book store / coffee shop is totally rad. And totally. I would go there if it existed in my town.
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, though, there is one in Burbank that I love to go to called Emerald Nights. You don't even see it. It's on Burbank Boulevard. It's two levels. It's gigantic. It's vaulted ceilings through the second level. They got gaming tables. They got comics. They got gaming stuff. It's freaking awesome. And they have ads running in front of movies now, actually. Somebody said they saw an ad for it in front of a movie.
Huh.
I love that store.
I haven't heard of it, and I actually frequent quite a few comic book stores.
Don't try and hide from us. We know that that's like you got a secret lair there, and now you're like, totally. Oh, I don't know about that place.
Well, now I have to check it out.
The secret coffee shop.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
By the way, that guy that owns that shop, I know the owner, he said that there was much more violence in the comic than the movie, and that that was one item that was missing from the movie. Do you feel the same way?
Well, because it's... There's in the comics, there's much less of the other story, you know? So I guess, yeah, it is more violent because that's what...
It's just one violent thing after another.
Right, it's just like one violent thing after another. And then you get like little like dips here and there of the other stories. And then it's like right back to being violent. So I guess, yeah, in that way, yeah. But well, I don't think that they subtracted any of the big violent moments.
But the violence is mostly in the... I mean, basically in the Hit Girl and Big Daddy sequences in the film. For the most part, those are the big action pieces.
Yeah.
Well, violence can.
But
be
I guess
a lot
it all feels really violent. Like that first fight he gets in the comic book feels so violent.
Oh, but that's the thing is all of his fights, every single fight he does. I mean, he basically
gets his ass.
He gets ass kicked, or
I love it.
Basically he loses or should lose.
Yeah.
You know, even in this particular instance where he's going, I mean, by all rights, he should be dead.
Oh, yes, he should be dead.
Only,
on
it's
this
only
one.
Because.
Okay, and in the comic book, this he does go to this drug dealer place, but this has nothing to do with Katie. Like, they just loop that back in to, like, loop something back to her.
Gotcha.
But this has to do. This is just someone who posted something on his MySpace or something like that. And so he's just. Because now that he's kind of famous and he has, like, this MySpace page, a lot of people are posting things up there or, like, sending him messages to come and help him.
Oh, and the drug dealer said, come help me. Oh,
no,
somebody
it
else.
Was, it was a girl. Oh, right. It was still a girl who had been like dating the guy. It's still the same thing, except you don't get, you know, it's not, you know, I work at a soup kitchen and Katie, it's like some like implied, like trampish kind of girl who like had this bad relationship with this drug dealer and he won't leave her alone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
and it sounds like something superheroish to do.
And, right, so he answers her and is like, oh, I'll go do it.
And that, actually, I would buy more than it being, oh, because it's Katie. Though I know here he's kind of doing it, well, it's Katie, so let me see if I can get close to her, so blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it is a good way to move the story along and connect things in movie context.
They do give Katie a much like bigger role in this than she does in the comic book, so I guess like it's just another thing to help enhance that.
Hmm.
Oh, he's distracted again.
Kryptonite.
Yeah.
What else is this guy
doing? You know what? These guys look like clean drug dealers to me. Do you know, like all the druggies that were using drugs? I don't know. Are they this clean?
Well, I mean this isn't Train Spotting, you know? Yeah, this is Kick-Ass. Right. Like,
it's real, but it's not.
Yeah, right, because it's just like the comic book, and it's very, because the comic book is also very comic booky in the fact that like all the colors are really bright, you know, the lighting is really dramatic, you know, those are the things that take it out of reality and make it a little more cartoonish.
Right, so it's just a comic book world with no superpowers. That's all it is, but it's still a comic book world.
Yeah.
On the other hand, what do any of us know about drug dealers? Does anybody? I mean, not to demean anyone's experience anything, but at the same time, I mean, maybe the guys who aren't down just using. Maybe they do manage their money better. Maybe they can't afford to buy things like this, and they do hang out in their.
No,
like,
I agree. I agree.
Well, I'm not saying they not have it. I'm not saying that they probably wouldn't have like a widescreen TV and an Xbox. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that I think that they're like that their walls are going to have like a stucco, you know, kind of finish on them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the place does look art directed. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I did not see that move coming at all.
No. And he keeps thinking things through kind of.
Yeah.
But then he brings a stick with him, but the guy has a knife, and he brings a taser with him, but there's more than one guy.
And then you have this.
Yes.
Like, what the hell?
And I'm telling you, this moment in the comic book is one of the best two pages I've ever read in any comic book in my whole entire life.
Well, is it an action sequence like this, or is it?
It's just like that. It's just this is exactly how she's revealed.
By the way, that's one word that's almost forbidden in movies now.
Yeah, I know.
Right now,
yeah.
And wow, she says it. 11-year-old chick. Let's do it.
Yep, and she's like,
oh,
boom.
Oh, and the music of Banana Splits.
The music is
awesome.
Right,
Banana Splits. Yep.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, and it's just brilliant choreography, and she's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, and what's great about this is because so far in the story, you're just following Kick-Ass and you're realizing, you're thinking, man, like, it's tough to be a superhero. You can't actually be badass. Oh, okay. And then this little girl comes in there and she's like, nope, you can. You can actually be badass. You can do flips
that,
in the
she's
air.
She's like, look what I can do.
Right.
Exactly. And the whole thing is how horrified he is. Look, he is actually, it's like, oh,
yeah, he's almost ready to throw up.
Yeah, he's scared of her.
He's absolutely, he doesn't know what the hell is. Knife.
This is great.
Yeah.
Dude.
I like how they threw that in, that she had to kick him into the bathroom. And it's where the girl's got a choice. Like, oh, are you stupid?
She should just run.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now she's like, you know what? Too late.
She takes slow and a special pleasure in killing that
man.
Chick. I wonder if that's an I never knew my mommy angst thing.
And it's not just a one, but two swords.
Oh, right,
but they don't show it. I mean,
it's true. What is that like camouflage they use for turkey hunting or something? It's like if you don't kill the turkey with the gun, then
ooh, man,
good shot.
Yeah, and she.
She's got one of those cool throat transmitters, by the way, that Special Ops and SWAT use.
Oh, wow.
No ambient noise whatsoever. Only picks up your voice.
Huh.
Awesome.
I love the fact she takes the money. That's awesome.
Yeah. He can't even stand up. It's so great.
He cannot process this. It's like...
Mm-hmm.
Now, this, I mean, in a way, this, I don't know what port this is. We're at with 41, but this is, in a way, this is the new world for him.
Right.
In other words,
and he didn't create the world. He just suddenly fell into it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, there was a bunch of new worlds. One was that they think he's gay.
That's a minor new world compared to this.
Well, that's that helps him. That starts the whole girlfriend thing.
Right.
Right.
But then the criminal's running down the street. This is 45 where she enters.
Yeah, and we find out what her name is. Yeah, Big Daddy. He's just like, start acting
Big
like
Big Daddy superhero. Looks a lot less like Batman in the comics.
And they see here she makes that.
Yeah.
She makes that and she does the role. Just come on.
So.
And he's
he has a choice.
He has a choice and but he knows he can't make the leap, but he can't make the leap internally also.
Right,
that's the thing.
Right.
He can't become like them.
Is he really going to enter the world of superhero? And here's
well,
my question.
Their
How did
version
they
of
expect
superhero.
Him to get down? If he followed her all the way over there.
They would have worked it out.
They expected him to figure it out because they think he's like them.
Yeah.
Right.
Up till now, they think he is like them. Like, he
in
knows
the comics,
what's going
is it
on.
The same thing? Like, did they really get that impression? Did they reveal that later? Or?
Yeah, initially, that's what it is. They found him because of the internet because they think he's like them.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, see, they're the real deal.
Yeah.
He's like, what was I thinking?
You are a stupid dick in a wetsuit. Cry about
it. Confirmed.
Cry about it.
You have earned your tears, young man.
But I've got nice boots.
That's right.
Yeah, for putting on your baggy jeans and dancing to rap music.
In 1992.
Right.
You know, all this stuff is fine, but I always felt that this was kind of the weaker part of the film where we kept on cutting back to the bad guys and the little clues.
I agree. And this is all added.
And it's all added. I mean, was it even flashback in the comics?
No, we don't go in any kind of detail with these people like this.
Yeah.
So
I mean, only when it has anything to do, like, you know, when it has to do with Hit Girl and Big Daddy, we get that part of the flashback, like why, you know, they're interested in him. But, I mean, none of this is getting fed to you yet.
Yeah. And also... I mean, he's a fine bad guy, but I just don't think, you know, the character that Mark Strong is playing here is... I mean, he's that compelling. I mean, he's a good bad guy, but there's nothing special like...
He's a good bad guy, and by the way, he will be playing Sinestro in the Green Lantern movie.
Oh,
get it, Mark Strong.
Nice.
Yeah. Great casting. Not undercast in any kind of way.
Right.
Yep.
But I guess in a way, maybe they play with this in the movie so that to kind of motivate Red Mist's, I guess, emergence as a hero.
Right, because and Red Mist gets much more flushed out in this, opposed to the comic. I love their belts.
We do know the voice that Nick Cage is doing here, right?
Well, it sounds a lot like it sounds like a William Shatner impersonation.
No, he's doing
Batman.
He's doing Adam West.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, very
he's
nice.
Adam West.
God. Yeah, totally.
And the utility belt with the BD.
Uh-huh.
Although I was thinking about this, the way that he breaks up the way he talks also avoids any tracing of like his normal rhythm speech. So it kind of makes sense, but it does seem corny at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of one of those suspension of disbelief.
It's basically, but I think
it's fantastic because it has two uses.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
A logical and an entertaining.
And see, this is why a superhero shouldn't have a website,
right? Because then,
and why you,
can
you
find
know
them.
Heroes in comics don't broadcast that they are, and why they have alter egos.
Dummy. Why heroes in real life? I mean, if you're part of the CIA, you're not going to have a website saying, I'm a secret agent.
Exactly. Unless you're, James Bond. I'm a secret agent. I'm cool. No.
Right.
You're the guy that distracts everyone while the real people do their work.
I love that. Hiccup.
Yeah, that's classic.
Out the window.
Man.
It's like, I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah.
That was a
very
tiny kid
strange.
Just now.
Those are some very strange people.
They are. I love them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this now so we can circle back later when it becomes a discussion point.
Yes.
But just the idea that this guy would train a tiny kid to kill, that's disturbing. This is one reason why I'm not sure that I like it.
Oh, I think it's meant to be
disturbing. You can't really let go and really get into, wow, superheroes. Because all the time I'm going, she's freaking 10 years old. She's 11 years old. She never had a childhood. This guy brainwashed her to be a killer, and it's a game to her. How twisted is that?
Right.
Well, yeah, how twisted. Is that? That's because they go there.
Oh, well, that's
they have a nice relationship with each other, which makes it even more kind of twisted.
But that's what makes it work so well is that they do go there. That's the only reason why it does work, because
you can't really force
a kid. They commit to it,
And you'll see later he references, he's like, you call it brainwashing, I call it making it into a game. That's what he would have to do to get a kid to do this stuff is, it's a game.
And it's great.
Let's see how many targets you can hit in 5 seconds, you know.
Well, it's also great that he let her kill him here. You know, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's
training.
Sort of like, it's almost like the bird or the beast of the predatory beast bringing like a half-wounded baby gazelle to the little cub. Right.
Oh, so it learns. Like, yeah, so it learns how to do it.
But I want to say about them having a good relationship. When it was her birthday, they did not hug. They did a high five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which I thought was great because it showed
they're
not comfortable, with having this actual display of love.
I mean, if we think the actual relationship, I mean, think of this: he's raised her to be a killer. He hasn't raised her to live a full life as his daughter, a balanced life.
Well, and you have to have a certain separation from your emotions to kill. I mean, that's like part of the main thing that you get taught when you go into the military is how to make it into, it's not a personal thing. It's just you see the enemy, you kill them, period. And there's a certain separation that goes into that. And that would, if you're living a life like that, that would extend to all facets of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can honestly say I've never seen a scene like this in any film.
Right? Yeah. No, it's completely original.
It is original and... Yes.
Awkward, man. Yeah. His whole life, like, he's just one awkward situation after another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the way, interesting point, I was thinking about this too. That scenario never would have happened when I was in high school because the idea of being gay, even in the 90s, was still not so public, and especially, I'm from Kentucky, so especially not there, but still, just the idea that could be a way of getting in with a girl if you convince her you're gay or she thinks you are.
Right.
That's a whole new facet to me. Like, wow, that's... Mm.
And it's another thing, like, with the MySpace kind of and with the YouTube that keeps it really current.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I will make it really dated at some point, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But in that kind of good way, like Reality Bites, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I haven't seen that in a while.
It's good.
I've heard about it.
It's dated. Oh, wow. Okay.
In a good way.
I love all the guns on the wall. I really do.
They're fun.
Every one is like slightly different.
Right. Almost. There are several there. By the way, I know a lot about small arms. There are several there that are the same weapon, just have different like a different scope, a different foregrip, a different suppressor or flash suppressor. It's a lot of interesting variety.
Back to this when we were talking about this earlier. believe, even though this is not the exact thing from the comic book, this is the same artist.
Oh, that was my question. That's,
yes,
yeah.
It's the same artist. Idea.
So it's not the same panels, but it was...
Well, obviously not, because it looks like Nicolas Cage.
Gotcha.
Right. No, I didn't catch that. Okay. Well, I don't know. I didn't see the book.
But it is the same artist.
They
this
do
is like
it really
the
well.
You know how I was? Oh, okay. It's like motion comics.
It's motion. It's a 3D actually.
Yeah, you know. They do a lot of these now. Motion comics.
Okay.
But do you see what I mean? How it kind of has that kind of like primitive kind of style to it. Yeah. Where I was saying like I didn't know how certain things were really gonna.
Yeah. This almost reminds me of that. I forget the name.
I like
of the
artwork
though.
But I love it.
You know those movies where they shoot them live action and then they animate over it and it's very unfinished like this? This reminds me of those.
Rotoscoping?
Yeah.
I'm forgetting. There was one particular movie that was all like that and it didn't really go anywhere.
Waking Life?
There was Waking Life and also through Scanner
Darkly.
That's the one I saw, yeah. Totally reminds me of that. Five years old.
Yeah.
So I got 3 years before my two-year-old turns five before I can start training him? Is that what I'm taking away from this
movie? You can actually start training earlier. He just was in prison while she was like 3 or 4.
I like that he draws his own comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Well, and I like that they create a way in order to have comic art introduced into the movie and have that, you know, kind of have a little life in here.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I kind of wonder from just a filmmaking standpoint, like thinking about prop rental and such,
mm-hmm.
like I wonder how much it cost them to have enough guns to fill the room and how many like they had to rotate. Like this shot encompasses so many, but maybe they don't have the ones on the other walls right now.
Oh, I'm sure that they do that. Kind of stuff. I'm sure they do that.
You know, but how cool would it, I mean, I'm just thinking as a gun nut, how cool would it be to have just one day where the room was all full?
Well, and I'm pretty sure they had to have probably more than one weapons wrangler on set just because there's
easily.
So many.
Yeah, you'd have to have like the weapons master and then, you know, two or three other guys just to keep track of the stuff. Make sure nothing walked away, et cetera.
And make sure nobody touches anything.
Yeah, totally.
Oh.
I mean, this
Matter
would be
fact,
like such a hot set. Like probably, I mean, they would probably have this where very minimal crew would even be around with that many actual weapons.
Hmm. Maybe on the set. Knowing some of the procedures, though, normally when you have a lot of guns for any movie, you have a lockup. You have like basically a giant cage thing that's like welded that only one person has the key to. And it's a couple different levels of security to even get in the thing. And then they have 24-hour security from the property just sitting next to it
all
the time. But definitely those things are...
I worked on a really, really low budget film. We had one gun on set one day, and it was like the biggest deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to make sure because, I mean, not everyone has training. Not everyone can be safe. Someone's going to dick around unless you set the bar really high for no one goes near it. And absolutely.
So real quick, script-wise, the middle of the script is always the bad guy worse than we thought, and that's where... We learn Nicolas Cage at 52 minutes, because it's not quite a two-hour movie. At 52 minutes, Nicolas Cage goes, I'm not going to stop till we get the whole gang.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that's actually detrimental to Kick-Ass, because everybody thinks it's Kick-Ass doing it. And then we find out that Frank Dimitro is actually worse than we thought. I mean, he's willing to do things himself, and he has the ability.
Look at that look in his eye. It's like a shark. He's
even
like a
worse, I mean,
animal.
he's willing to just kill innocent people.
Oh, yeah.
It's just some guy that sees...
And I love that. That's,
get introduced to his physical ability, because before we just saw him sort of standing in front of a wooden block, just kind of sticking his arm out. Now we see he's actually got skill, martial arts skill.
Right.
Which comes up later in the film.
Which makes him a more dynamic bad guy.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I love it when the bad guy can and does do their own dirty work.
Yeah, when's the last time you actually saw someone shoot somebody in the back or the head like that?
Oh, absolutely.
That's like Platoon or something.
Crime movie. I mean, like, you know, Godfather or whatever, but not in a lot.
See, and now, a lot of movies. And now we can say this guy deserves to die.
Oh, yeah. We know he's
not that we wouldn't
really
say
bad.
Before, but now really. And also we think Kick-Ass is dead, but we kind of know he's not.
Well, and may I just interject that this not only makes him even more badass because he has suicide doors on his car. That's
right. Totally badass. Love that.
Totally.
Suicide doors?
Yeah, the ones that open backwards?
They open backwards.
You've never heard that term?
I've never heard that term.
Yeah, it's a standard term.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
If you're badass.
That's right. Sarah, so obviously you haven't re-upped your badass card lately.
You guys know stuff, man.
Man, I thought I was subscribed to the badass.com newsletter.
Okay, well, that's different, though. You don't have your card. You have to be a card-carrying badass to know about suicide doors and
truth. And I think you have to follow them on Twitter. So.
Yeah.
And that was my mistake.
I have to re-up for that next time I pay my dues.
Of this is just made up, too. This, like, her being there. I don't know.
Really? That whole story?
This whole story.
Well, you know, I guess that's, you know, John, you can comment on this.
Go ahead.
You have to have a love story in a film, really. I mean, that's...
Do you have to?
You don't have to, but it certainly helps.
It's part of the equation.
People expect
to, like, draw in the most audience possible.
Well, here it works because he's basically being a superhero so he can get laid.
True, but he's doing the same thing in the comic. He's just not getting laid.
But he was going to be a superhero before there was getting laid on the table.
But he realized.
I agree with you.
He realizes if I pursue this, I can get somewhere.
He's being gay to be getting laid.
Yeah.
Well, that too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is completely the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. It's all the same. So basically.
And being gay doesn't get him laid, but being the superhero does.
Does. It does. See? What I say.
It's also, the way it goes is bad guys worse than we thought, middle point, and then right after that is where is this movie going?
And this is where it goes.
And right before the scene, though, she goes, I wish you weren't gay, so we know where the movie's going there.
Okay.
And then he goes, and then Red Mist gets introduced. Right. So, yeah, and they usually, when you have multiple lines, the scenes go back to back.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say.
It's really neat to see.
This was a really, badass plan. This was a really good plan on his part.
Yeah.
It was really evil. I was like, that is so bad.
And can I say that
this is
one of my favorite.
I need these things.
Right? just these things. I love this moment where they figure out who's going down. That's just one of my favorite moments in the film. Yeah. Right here. Now they're working together. It's he's getting drawn in now.
It's like a writer and an agent.
Yeah.
I want him to be 50 years old. That 50 would be perfect. He doesn't have to be 12.
Yeah.
And I wanted
Tony. Poor Tony. Victim of circumstance.
Yeah.
But he is an asshole.
Scumbag, I think.
Right, scumbag.
I think all of them are scumbag assholes.
I want to know who picked up which comic books were going to be seen in that shot. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Conan?
I did.
No.
There was a Conan comic featured.
By the way,
reading X-Men.
But backtracking just slightly, the last time we saw this scene where he's first having a conversation with the girl.
Yes.
The rich kid, Red Mist, and his bodyguard were actually in the next booth over, and they just didn't come into the scene at all, but they were there.
Oh.
I didn't notice it until just now. Well, this is my third time seeing
them. Getting back to the whole thing of they keep on crossing paths, and if things had been different, they could have been friends.
Right, right.
There he is.
I would like a kick-ass cappuccino, please.
Right? Oh, and there they are.
They're in the comic book store again.
Yeah. It's like every time they're in the comic store, he's in the comic store.
Yeah. Awesome. She washes her hair.
That's great. A lot of light on those guys' faces.
Yeah, there is.
Is that supposed to be motivated by the case that's across from them?
I think it's motivated by some HMIs.
Oh, Serge. I think capes are awesome, too, by the
way.
That's
okay. I mean, I think they're making a special point of lighting their faces just a little hotter than everything else right now. Mm. No,
that's
seriously.
So funny.
No, but seriously.
Those guys busting
that.
Each other's balls. I love it.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the ball busting definitely is awesome.
Yeah.
And by the way, where does he get all this?
Money
for all this stuff. Right. Like, how many?
Yeah. Well, I love the scene just in Incredibles when he wants a cape.
Yeah.
And she's like, you can't have a cape? Yeah. The hurricane and the...
She names off all these guys that got killed because they had capes.
That's brilliant.
And P.S. in Watchmen, they had the guy with the cape, Dollar Bill, actually got it stuck in a revolving door and got shot because of that.
Cape humor, I guess is what you would call
it.
Yeah. Red Mist.
It's so good.
I mean, it basically, the whole thing answers a question I had when I saw the commercials. I was like, okay, if Kick-Ass has no money and is doing this, how does Red Mist have all this, you know, all this gear? Which, of course, got answered.
Yeah, because right,
when
yeah.
his dad was underwriting
and I like how Kick-Ass is still on his bike.
That's yeah.
Kind of, yeah, yeah,
or walking.
And I love this, how he jumps down and hurts himself.
Yeah. And how like Kick-Ass, you know, takes his pose.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm all right. Two superheroes meeting. That's a pretty good costume.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really miss about the comic book with this, the situation they impose here, where we've seen, you know, the character before he becomes Red Mist, is you actually miss out on a little bit on the perspective that Kick-Ass has the first time he meets him.
Right.
Because he seems really cool, and he seems really... You don't know right away when you see Red Mist that he's actually just like some...
Guy.
Well, not A, a bad guy. B, you know, kind of like a poser, I guess would be the correct term for that. Yeah. You know, I mean, he just kind of shows up and he seems really kind of badass. And the last time someone just kind of showed up, it was Hickory and Big Daddy, and they were like really badass.
And you see, I like that. And I would have preferred that. So we're not led to say, okay, it's okay. You know, in other words, the hand holding that happened.
Because this would have been so much more fun if we didn't know that he was a bad guy.
Right. Because
it's just two guys hanging out. And,
it would have been more potent to reveal that he was a bad guy.
Oh, the betrayal would have been awesome.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this situation, too, in the comics versus when he meets Hit Girl and Big Daddy is when he meets Red Mist is more like him. Do you know what I mean? He's just, and he's a fan. Like, he comes across as this, like, big fan of Kick-Ass, and, like, the whole reason he even did any of this is because Kick-Ass did it, and, like... I don't know. I just think it makes it much more believable that he would be vulnerable to Red Mist's plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think actually he does, in a way, he likes Kick-Ass.
Oh,
for sure.
But he's totally willing to, you know, sell him out and anyone else out so he can gain his father's love, which he clearly is not getting.
Right, but he still does really admire him because they're the same kid. Yeah. They're the geeky kids in the comic book store that no girl likes that have always thought, what if you could just be a superhero? And Kick-Ass did it, so... Yeah, he really does look up to him.
Yeah.
But he does really do this. This is really, I love this whole scene actually in the comics where they're driving in the car and he's smoking pot and trying to be like, you know, I'm really cool. Like, look how cool I am. It's hilarious. Because he probably doesn't even smoke pot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he just did it because he knows his dad does drugs or like whatever. He just does it because he thinks that's what cool people do.
Right.
That joke never gets old.
Wait, yeah,
that's right. Is this the scene?
This is part of the scene. Yeah, lead in.
Don't come till I get there.
Quote it. Reading all those comics did good.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted to hear, right?
Organized crime boss Heidi.
That's right.
Oh.
Details.
I gave that away.
Yeah.
Now, so this is the. Where are we at? Where are we at?
John, tell us where we're at.
Where are we at?
Give us guidance.
We're at the part of the script which I call the hero gets a break.
Oh, yeah, they're getting a break right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, he gets a break.
How hilarious is that, him dancing in that little wetsuit, by the way?
They're enjoying Crazy. That's freaking awesome. Which, of course, there's subtext. They're crazy, but whatever. It's still a great song.
Also, which will, in, you know, a few years, really date this film.
Yeah. Oh, true. Hey, it's on fire.
Right, and this is how he gets a break. Instead of riding to his death, he rides to a warehouse on fire.
Right. And once again, we don't know right now, but Big Daddy and Hit Girl save his life.
So in the comic, basically, they just show up there and it's on fire. And we have no idea why, right?
I don't believe that this specific scene is in the comic book.
So where was he driving him in the comic book? Or did they just lead to something else?
They go like directly to the next part.
So all this is missing. Okay.
Yeah.
The next part being the betrayal?
Yeah, like where he's captured.
So do they have any sort of adventure or thing together before the betrayal, or was Red Mist's whole thing in the comic book, I pick him up, we sort of bond, and then I drive him to betrayal?
Yeah, you know, I can't recall off the top of my head right now if there is something that comes in between there. I feel like maybe they see each other twice, actually. I feel like there's one event and then there's another event.
Right.
And I also feel like there's a warning in between coming from Big Daddy and Hit Girl.
Ah.
Interesting. That was one part. Well, I guess it's because they don't tell, like, Kick-Ass doesn't let him know that he's bringing Red Mist, but just that Big Daddy is so readily inviting to Red Mist when they show up to the safe house later. That seemed a little out of character.
I think that but that is exactly what happens in the comic as well. I just think that, I guess they're taking him on Kick-Ass's word.
Right.
Or from the news reports or something, maybe?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because again, it's just like they thought Kick-Ass was going to be more like them, and he turned out to really be just like a punk kid. So, you know, I guess they do just make assumptions.
I wish they would have broken through glass on those doors.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That would have cut them all up.
Yeah, but still.
But it brings us back to the world of reality a little bit, because if that fire was raging like it is, there wouldn't be glass in those windows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know fire that well, I guess.
That's right.
Plus, there's real fire there. They're dealing with this on set, and they probably don't want to give real actors, you know, that job if they had to have a shot that close. I kind of wonder if the shot was planned for that close initially, really.
This is what I want my HQ over the comic book store to look like.
Right? On the top floor.
Conti.
That's Xander Berkeley playing Gigante.
Oh my gosh.
Shows that he really loves it. I love the fact that he draws a gun on it. That's great.
Right? Interestingly,
he's defending Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
He really does admire him on some level. And, the whole like generational difference between, you know,
I love the fact that
information
they stick this in his
connectivity
butt.
Of course.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
Well, you know that there was absolutely no other choice for where they were going to stick it.
Right.
And by the way, awesome. I find it interesting that they show that there's like physical affection between the crime boss and his son.
Yes.
Where Big Daddy and Hit Girl high five on your birthday.
That's a goodie.
And Kick-Ass and his dad don't even talk.
Yeah, he's got nanny clips left over.
Teddy can too. That's
where
right.
She's, yeah.
That's funny.
Now, I like this.
I like how it transitions.
Yeah, I love how
it transitions
because
to
it
the reality
lets us
of it.
Enjoy the scene for an action scene as an audience.
Okay, now
better.
This music. You know what this music's from? It's 28 Days Later.
Oh, yep, that's what it's from. I knew it sounded very familiar.
Oh, yeah. I know, I heard this in the theater. I'm like, what do I know this from? It's like, ooh.
Yeah, isn't it the part where he comes back in and he infiltrates the commandos?
Yeah.
Yeah, great scene.
This is a great scene.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it is. It's phenomenal.
I mean, this is... Oh, nice jump cut there. I just love how he knows what he's doing. He's methodical. He just moves through.
Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that he's got all this body armor on, because it totally justifies, like, they are hitting him. You see sparks flying, like,
well,
he's getting shot.
It's real, just, I mean, the body armor looks legitimate. It looks like you could order
it. Yeah, totally.
You know?
Right.
Or at least piece it together from different plates.
Yeah.
And what's great, I mean, the great thing is that they showed the aftermath, and now we get to see what actually happened in a really cool way.
Yeah, totally.
No, it's a very, very well done and well utilized storytelling technique.
And I'm assuming Nick Cage did all of his.
Oh, I gotta figure he did.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean,
all of
he
his
does
work.
All the time.
I mean, really awesome. That was just great. And they look at each other like
they're looking at him like, oh, what are you gonna do?
It's Batman,
right? So, what did Big Daddy look like in the comics? You said he didn't look like as much like Batman.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks. I don't know. He looks. This is ridiculous, but he does look more similar to Hit Girl in the kind of way that it. I don't know. It's just not so dark. There's different colors, and it just doesn't look like Batman. It just still kind of has that kind of thrown together armor kind of a look, but just not Batman.
Right.
Look at the size of the knife.
Right. And I love the sweater, the cardigan. It's just like kind of normal Midwestern.
Well,
dude.
And look at his glasses. I mean, everything about it.
Totally.
And what's strange is he's one of the very few people in this entire movie that dresses in neutral tones.
Oh, good point.
Oh.
I'm going to try and use that phrase at least twice this week.
Get ghost.
Get ghost.
I like how he's drawn all of the mobsters. He does that pictures.
Yeah.
She pulls out a shuriken. That's freaking awesome. That's a no-nonsense shuriken.
Oh, man.
Does everyone know that term, shuriken?
I don't.
Yes, I do.
I know it now.
It's a Japanese term.
I know now. I'm going to use it in a sentence with
Get Ghost.
Honey, can you go to the store and pick me up a shuriken? And then we got to get Ghost because we got to be there in like 5 minutes.
John wins. Flawless victory. Fatality.
You know, once again, we get back to the narration, which I think works fine for his story. I'm just struck by how, I mean, especially when they were making this, did they realize beforehand that Hit Girl and Big Daddy would be so much more popular than Kick-Ass in a way, in a different way. I mean, Kick-Ass has his admirable qualities in the sense that he tries something, he really tries to go for it, and then realizes how wrong he was.
Right.
But that their world somehow is much more intoxicating. But I'd rather focus on this scene now.
Right?
Which doesn't happen in the comic book at all.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's not as much fun at all.
Yeah. And he takes the pose.
Yeah, it's
yeah, I love it.
And he says it, and she's blowing her hair.
It's
yeah.
perfect. It's perfect.
It's great. And he tries it again. It's the tennis racket.
And she goes to the bat.
I want to know how many teenage girls really have a bat out in their room.
Have you noticed the neighborhood they live in?
Oh. If she's got a dad that gives
Toronto's
a
tough place,
she would have a baseball bat. Yeah.
People get like mugged like outside on the street. And...
Oh, and P.S. She has a tennis racket. More than one tennis racket, by the way. There's one in the corner over there. And it, so she's sporty.
Oh, she's got a baton
she's probably
in the corner.
Yeah, there you go.
She plays softball.
She's athletic.
And some more cheesy butterflies.
Motivation.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but this girl has like a butterfly in every scene. They're like all over her wardrobe or cabinet.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They're on her lamp. Mm-hmm. In the last scene, she was wearing earrings that had butterflies. I guess it's like the most generic, cheesy teenage girl thing you could possibly think of.
Now, I totally enjoyed this scene. But really, really, I didn't. I mean, I bought it. But I don't buy the situation, like, in any kind of, like, this is what would happen.
That she changed her mind so quickly? Is that what you don't buy?
Well, and I love in the comic book is, like, he really does try to, like, get something going with her, and she still is just like, no. Like, you're, like, it's just, it's relentless how much she disses him in the comic books. It's so humorous to me.
Right. And that I'd buy, but here she's like, okay.
Like, when he tries to tell her he's not gay, it's just her reaction is priceless.
But, of course, they actually built it up, this relationship here in the movie, enough that you actually buy this.
Right,
because she
is,
they've established she's not exactly wishy-washy, but she is led by her emotions a lot, and, you know, she has sympathy for people, and so now he's not gay, but he's this loner superhero, you know, type, but she already knows him, so I totally buy this, that she would
switch right here. They lead it up to this.
Yeah, I could buy the switch. It somehow doesn't, how do I explain it without, it doesn't feel organic to the story.
Right, because this is the guy that always gets shit on.
Right.
So it's just, you know, why suddenly now is he not getting shit on?
Exactly.
Also, the idea, like, it's, I guess, a little
I
more
like
real life,
full
but now that
breast,
yeah.
You never see this in movies,
I've
ever.
Never touched breasts
well,
before.
And that very kind of...
Yeah, tentative.
Yeah,
and,
should I not?
Yeah. Usually in a story with a superhero... that's finding himself as a superhero. Mm-hmm. When things start coming together, he gets the girl and then he goes out and does more superhero stuff.
Right. Cause he's been rewarded.
So
my thing is like, it's a little more real life, I guess, but they're dialing back now. Now he does less superhero stuff because he's with, so this is another thing, an element that I kind of was like, I don't know if I like this because it's not forwarding the superhero thing.
But the thing is the superhero thing is forwarded because now the other superhero story, which is more, like, I don't want to say integral. Integral to the, it's the B plot. I mean, it's basically.
Well, he wants to get
itself
out. He keeps saying over and over again. Now he hasn't bought in yet. Not on the big level.
Well, and I think kind of like ever since he meets Hit Girl and Big Daddy, he's already been trying to dial it back a notch because he realizes he doesn't really want to be that involved.
Yeah, right. He's out of his league.
Yeah, he doesn't want to kill people. I mean, he wants to defend people. He wants to do what good.
That's why he carries, like, I don't know what those sticks are called that he carries, but what are those
called? Gungatons?
You could call them a lot of things. Those are mainly used in Kali and Eskrima. They're, golly. Yeah, the term is definitely escaping me right now. It's a Filipino term. I'm actually training in that right now with a guy that...
That's
nice.
Does that style, but...
Right, because now he's like... I'm sorry, but now...
Well, yeah, now he's the stud.
Now he's... It's beyond being a stud. Now he's, like, badass, because who, like, really does that? You know what I mean? Like, right. he's taken himself from, like, this level of being, like, this dweeby high school guy to being, like, the kind of guy, like, every guy wants to be.
Right.
The guy nailing, like, the hot girl in the alley behind the comic book store. Yeah. Right?
Awesome. It's actually never been on my vision board, but I could see where that could
you have a
easily...
vision board? I want a vision board.
I like the fact that the father makes it
under my Green Lantern ring.
I like the fact that father makes a reappearance. I mean, yes, I'll be brief.
Well, not only that, but he says, "Yeah, the mother would be proud of you." So that's beautiful.
Yeah,
and this is all.
Yeah, that does happen. He does go on with that first time with him out in the car. I don't really remember exactly what happens at that point. I think maybe they do like stop somebody or you know they go on some little adventure, and then there's. The second time where he's enticing him to go on the job.
Yeah. Right. I like how ratty that place looks.
I know.
Where she's working. It's just awful.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It's the fluorescent light.
It's also like the crappiest looking set. I think I built a set in film school.
Totally. My garage looks like that right now.
It just really does just look like two flats, you know, thrown up and
a little bit of furniture. No big deal.
It looks like they wore the paint down very, very well.
I love the sunset.
Yeah, and you know, this looks real, but I also think...
It looks fake, too.
It looks fake, too. Yeah. Like, that's
well,
the weird part
if you
part
pause
about
it, it would look like a frame of a comic book. Yeah. You know, the coloration and, like, the angles on the houses.
Oh, yeah. They probably messed with the colors on it a lot in post.
I like how he just kind of... I'm sidling up to the car.
He looks around. In my costume. Yeah, back and forth. Do I look suspicious? Is anybody looking at me? I don't know, because I'm dressed in a teal... costume walking into like a bright red car.
By the way, Sarah, do you happen to know where this location is?
I think the shot before the setup was New York. They might have continued this in New York. This might be Toronto, but it's likely both New York.
I've seen this location in a lot of different movies, mostly in like drama or action flicks, and I just kind of wonder if it's somewhere convenient to hear.
To hear
physically.
Are there lights on Red Mist's gloves?
Physically close to Los Angeles.
Did anybody notice that?
Oh, no, that was...
No, but that would be awesome.
No, they were either in New York or something, Toronto.
I don't know, but I want to go as Red Mist for Halloween.
I like his hair.
Right?
The way his hair is, like, colored, and the face mask red. Is very cool. I mean, he's got a really cool, badass costume.
Nice.
And you have no idea what they're making.
Yeah.
It is very perverted. I mean, it is so wrong, you know, their relationship and what he's made her into. But there's something very giddy about it.
And I love the hot chocolate thing because that gives her a moment to look at the hot chocolate, and then we know she thinks about her dad when we get back. And
that is a great.
Otherwise, it's a great. Otherwise, you'd have to say, "I'm thinking about my dad now," which is not proper script writing stuff. No.
I think they did a good job with this one.
You know what, though? I really would. I've never really looked to see, but I'd love to just hear some kooky stories about people putting on costumes and trying to be vigilantes.
It's kind of
amazing that you haven't.
Exactly,
well, like,
which
there
is
hasn't
when...
been at least one or two.
Well, I think there...
were interesting enough to air.
I don't think there's been any... I think there's been a few items of some people trying to do some stuff.
I have never heard one.
I've never either.
But not vigilante in vigilante sense. But I've read there's some sense. I like the way they've just... I mean, basically it's montage. They've taken out... all of the sound.
But I think that this movie is completely telling us why we never see those people.
Right.
And it's been telling us from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because you would have to be completely insane. It's just like the relationship between Big Daddy and Hit Girl. You know, we keep on talking about how it's perverse and it's crazy. Well, what they're saying is that you'd have to be like this level of like perverse and crazy to do something like this. That's why people don't do it.
Right.
Right. Because you're going to end up dead. If you're a regular person, you're going to end up dead.
I like the seeing basically, you know, Big Daddy making himself up. I mean, what's great is that Nick Cage finally got to play Batman or Superman, you know, which he'd always wanted to do.
Awesome.
He did get to do it.
Yeah,
I thought about that afterward. I'm like, maybe this is to make up for him not getting Superman.
And this
I didn't know they were considering it for Batman.
And it's also bad. No, I don't think he was.
I don't think
But I think he always wanted, you know, I'm sure he would have wanted to so much.
I don't think that he is a proper. Actually, when he was first cast as this, I was a little concerned because I just don't know if I believe in Nick Cage as a comic book character. Mm-hmm. I think Ghost Rider is one of the worst films of all time, and I don't
think a lot of it is him.
You know, there's a lot of other elements to that movie that are flawed, but I think a lot of it is him. I just don't see him as a comic book character until now, I guess. So,
well, you know, he always, if you think about it, even though he's a leading man, he still is an everyman type of leading man. He's not extraordinary enough to give you the impression that he could be.
You got
to
like this that he's going to shoot a little kid.
Totally cold blooded.
I mean, that just shows that which side of the fence he's on.
Right.
Well, and when this comes at you in the comic book, it's a lot more shocking.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right. And you see, and he's defending Kick-Ass. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to save him.
He's trying to save Kick-Ass.
Yes.
And the thing is, he's no idea. The consequences of what he's just done.
Right, exactly.
None.
Exactly. Well, he's just facilitating.
Well, he's being 18 years old.
Well, he knows Big Daddy's going to be killed. He knows that.
Right, but he didn't bother to think Kick-Ass or taking the rocket launch or anything.
But he's also thinking that if Big Daddy's not killed, Big Daddy's going to kill his dad, is what he's thinking. So for him, you know.
Well, more than that, I mean, I don't think he necessarily has the vision to see that Big Daddy might kill his dad. It's more like he wants to be a part of his dad's business.
Well, yeah, I do think that's part of it.
He just wants to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's like, all right, Bazooka. Yeah. Okay.
Wrong.
Right. And I love it that he actually explains.
And it like, makes total
like
sense.
Now, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That nobody knows who Big Daddy is.
Guy in an outfit. Right.
And what's nice is it makes logical sense, which is fantastic, mm-hmm. rather than movie bullshit.
Mm-hmm. And lets him answer. That's the best.
And that's the weird. Oh, it was a wig. Nice wig.
I love it. I love that it stayed on the whole time.
Right. Incidentally, this is interesting because of course, Big Daddy's like switch in his perspective once he realizes that Hit Girl is there, and because before it's like he's completely given up.
Right.
But what I don't get is why did he think that she was already dead? Because he knows she's got body armor on. And he has to know how much distance there is from the window to whatever she landed on.
Right. Well, maybe he didn't know she was dead, but still seeing her fly out the window would be enough to be...
Disturbing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Distracting. Yeah.
And also, I'm sure maybe he starts feeling that he just let this guy in.
This whole thing of having the, you know, the broadcast going out over the internet thing... Mm-hmm. And then everyone's seeing it in the news reporting it. Mm-hmm. This kind of took me out of it. Was this in the comic?
Oh, no, I loved it.
I don't know if they really go into the news or whatever, but they do show that it's on the internet.
Yeah,
and besides that, a lot of internet stuff is on the news nowadays.
Yeah, but this reminds me of, like, you know, Law & Order, Special Victims Unit, when, like, oh, no, they're trying to catch the people who've got this thing, and it's a countdown, and they have to get to there before. And I'm like, oh, I mean, do you ever see anything like this on the internet, ever?
When it's contests or when it's some kind of special event or something. And this would be something that I would think would be newsworthy. And all they're doing is broadcasting the internet feed.
And I mean, as of now, we've already established that he is an internet sensation.
Right.
Yes. Right.
I mean, that's brought up so many times throughout the story that's his main vehicle of communication.
Right.
He communicates through MySpace to his other superheroes.
Right.
You know, so I guess in that respect, yeah.
Yeah, I totally buy it. I wasn't...
Yeah, no, that didn't, yeah, I wasn't it didn't disturb me at all.
Well...
What disturbed me a little bit was this guy sitting here watching the
Yeah, the cops.
I felt I wasn't so bad about everybody else, but his friend, I wanted to see him do something. I don't know what he could have done.
It's not maybe okay. Not that it disturbs me. I just find it's facile. That's all. I just felt it was facile.
I think the news rebroadcasting it the way it is and the amount of violence actually is not believable. They would not broadcast that.
Exactly. It would be cut off.
Well, they do cut it off. But they do cut it off. You're just saying they cut it off sooner.
Oh yeah, well, they wouldn't show you any of this.
Yeah.
Not on the news. They wouldn't show you any of this.
No.
Well, this is it. They cut it off.
Now it's like, oh well, gee.
So now
they all go to the internet. So why didn't they just go to the internet in the first place?
Because the TV caught their attention.
Yeah,
but I understand you're really upset about this, Serge. But
no, it's not upset. It's just
You're bothered by it.
Well, I am bothered by it. Yeah. You know?
Well, since when do they not put the most popular thing that people want to see on the news as soon as there's something new about it?
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't matter.
Susan Boyle.
Yeah.
Okay, that took place in the United Kingdom. The only reason that even reached us over here was through YouTube, and then she was all over the news.
I'm with that, but the whole thing of like live on camera, someone being violently beaten up and basically killed.
That's what it was going to be.
Yes, they didn't know that.
Yeah, but within like a few seconds, they knew what was happening.
Right, but who's going to shut down that RSS feed? Who's going to shut that down?
Well, and plus, if you're a TV producer and you're trying to like get more ratings and you want people to watch and you want advertisers to be interested, you're going to try to hold out as long as possible before you cut it off.
Yeah. Here, read this.
Right,
those comments are for not teenagers.
Right,
they're for 30 and 40 year olds.
Mm-hmm. Right,
that's when I
Right,
so they throw in a whole bunch.
Now here, what I found. Well, I mean, I get now. This was in the comic, right?
Right.
Totally,
he's right.
In the
total
moment.
Teenagers.
He's got the girl.
I didn't get why the fire didn't go over to Kick-Ass. That's the one. My question.
I didn't get that either.
You know what I would have liked to seen. The first body that dropped would have cut off the fire line to go to Kick-Ass.
Right.
I would have bought that, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah, you got to like that.
Yep.
By the way, that little musical undertone of like that thing, that was very Batman Begins / Dark Knight.
Mm. Yeah.
They did that same effect when Batman was introduced on his first drug foiling mission.
And this is so video game.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Person point of view, or whatever you call it.
But this is where they use it really, really well.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except it looked a little fake to me, and I don't know if they did that on purpose. Mm. I mean, these don't look like real hands to me.
Ooh. Yeah, it looks like a video game.
It looks exactly
like a first-person shooter.
Which is probably why they don't do it that much.
Right. But it's effective.
Yeah.
They probably did it, though, slightly intentionally because their target audience plays those games. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. And I think it...
And I get it. And I enjoy
we all,
it.
We all get
I
it. No, but yeah. We all got the reference.
Yeah.
Well, those of us who play.
Is it a video game yet or no?
No, not that I know of.
But for her... going back to game, for her it's a game,
right?
Well, for her it's a little
well
bit
said,
of a game. She plays it like a game because that's how she's been, and she does well at it.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows that she's saving her father's life too,
right?
Which is hysterical,
which is
because
important.
All the people who are the best at video games are little kids. Have you noticed that?
Oh,
I mean,
totally.
Little kids. I have a 12-year-old brother, and he can play any video game better than I could even conceptualize. Better than people my age that have been, you know, playing since Donkey Kong.
Yeah, right.
It's just because we don't have the concept as well locked down for the way they operate now. But
yeah,
and that makes sense to me that this little girl would be better at these games than the adults.
Yeah,
and two, like, why do you think they're automating all the stuff that the military uses, all these unmanned drones and stuff? Like, that's why, is because they know the next generation is good at these game type things.
Well, the only reason why we don't kill people is the only way we can kill people is if we don't consider them to be people.
Right.
But that's the whole thing. You have to dehumanize them to do it. Yeah.
And when you operate a drone from your office in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. You could be a reservist and just be like, okay, we're having a mission from, you know, 2 to 3 today, so log on at this time, etc. You know,
and then you fly the drones, you kill people,
right?
War games.
And I love that he's yelling instructions to her while he dies.
Basically, but she's doing it. That's the whole thing. Yeah. And
this
she's
is And I love this. I actually do love this shot in a superhero cool action scene context, the slow-mo thing right,
right.
here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, me
where
too.
She runs out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
And the flashing light is whatever. It's very motivated. It's brilliant.
Exactly. It's very dramatic.
Right. This scene right here tells me why this girl's going to be a star forever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever. I knew she was going to be a star forever, like, the second she got shot and, like, popped up from that.
Oh, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
This isn't just some ordinary little girl, and you whether see... or not she's an actress or, you know, or right. a character.
And she hits the light in one shot from that distance.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it's...
Yep. Give her a hug goodbye.
Yeah.
And now he knows he is fucking dead.
Right?
That's nice.
He's like, so like, we didn't account for all of them.
Yeah,
I guess. My question is, why did she leave the cape over his head like that? I mean, he's got to be like kind of suffocating in there.
Well, cause she went like immediately from doing that to going and turning off the camera.
Well, at least she took time to turn the light on.
Right.
Yeah. Because everybody else would be screaming, where's the light coming from?
That's very well motivated.
True. Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
And this was a painful scene.
That's because I used a velocity round.
Low velocity round. Basically, right. Like a half load of powder in the same thing. It's okay. You use it a lot in target practice.
I mean, I like the fact that they underlit this so they didn't have to completely make him up and have us see the whole effects of the burning.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. You would
have
need to do that.
And how classic is that exchange, though, that whole like low velocity round thing? The parent is teaching the kid something, but they don't tell them they're actually making it easier for them,
right.
Because they love them,
right.
And again, motivating, you know, just showing how twisted this whole thing is,
right? But knowing that she'll learn the same lesson whether or not it's, you know,
because when my dad shot me, he used the full thing.
It wasn't really nice. My dad just stabbed me. So. No, he didn't. My dad is great.
You guys
I love
had
dad.
It easy. My first shooting, it was a shotgun. It was Kentucky, mind you. But you know.
Okay, my dad doesn't do guns. I like the fact that I'm watching this for like 5 seconds and going like, wait a minute, hit girl's driving.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well, cool. And but then my next thought is, well, of course she can drive. Duh, he probably would have taught her that as soon as she was tall enough.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. It took me like 5 seconds to realize, oh, wait a minute, she's driving.
Me too.
And the thing is that right here, I mean, the thing is now she's on her own and she knows she's on her own. And that would just felt, I mean, it does feel sad, but you know, she's in it. She's going to finish the mission now.
Right.
Well, okay. So 90, you know, supposedly a very dark moment, end of the second act. That was 1 hour and 31 minutes, which is 91 minutes. That was death of Big Daddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now he has not made the choice yet to participate or not, but he soon will.
Yeah. Because in a way, I mean, this has become her story. That's the thing. The story's transferred over to her.
No. It's still his story. This is his darkest moment. He's responsible for this guy's death. Now, is he going to still continue to be a wuss and not play the big game, or is he going to step up? And she's going to tell him that in like 30 seconds.
I like the holes. I mean, the bowl is still in there, and there's the hot chocolate. Yeah, yeah, basically, so she's... She plays the hero part, but he is the hero of the story, but she plays the hero part.
Well, he's...
I mean, she's stronger than him.
She is one of the opponents. An opponent is not necessarily a bad guy. Opponent is someone that forces the hero out of his or her shell.
Right, and to realize
like
something about themselves.
Yeah, yes.
And then, okay.
And this is, and she's going to do it in 1 minute. She's going to say, dude, you in or out.
Right. I like this. I like this kind of very unique writing. Well, you don't usually see this structure. Mm-hmm. And this is great. This is just a great shot.
And it's not an arc for her. You know,
it's
like she would have done this no matter what.
Yeah, it's his arc.
It is his arc. Yeah. It's just a great sequence.
About your words, the structure is all exactly the same. You just haven't seen it played out this way. Mm. You haven't seen it.
He's a really good actor, man.
Interesting. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he actually is really good.
Interesting point of note. She's using all the compact versions of a lot of popular weapons. That is the H&K MP5K, which is the compact version of the very popular submachine gun that a lot of assault teams use.
Because she needs the little girl
size.
That's right.
And like the handguns she's using are the also H&K, interesting, nice. USP 9mm compact. It would have been cool, though, to see like a different wall with weapons for her and weapons for the daddy. Right?
That would have been really cute.
Yeah.
This is so side note, but when my dad's a carpenter, and when I was younger in his shop, he had like the... You know, like the perforated board.
Oh, right.
And he would hang all his tools. He'd hang all his tools like that. And then he had like a little one he made for me with like my Fisher Price size tools.
I think I saw one of those once. Those are awesome.
Nice.
Very nice.
So I can relate a lot to Hit Girl.
I can totally see like her wall would have like little stickers of different animals for each gun. So she would have like a frame of reference remembering which one does what and what specs.
It's like her animals. You have the right size bullets with the teddy bear and the right handgun with the teddy bear so you can match them.
I like how she says pick your weapon.
Yeah.
I love it that Kick-Ass mans up so much that he uses the biggest weapons from here on out. He uses, you know,
and he makes his choice. Makes his choice,
except for that one,
because he sees
she makes him.
Well, but he sees a good, clear example. I mean, she's able in a way he didn't have a mentor in a way, and Big Daddy wasn't able to take him under long enough. Mm-hmm. So in a way, he can see through her what he can actually do.
Well, and until now he has had no real. Motivation for what he does. You know, he's just doing it because he's bored, because he wants to know if you can do it. Now he feels responsible. He's in. He feels like he made this little girl lose her father.
Yeah, exactly.
He owes her.
Yeah.
You know, this is Bruce Wayne's parents getting shot in the alley. You know, this is his moment where he's like, I've got to do something. I can't let this continue. Right.
I love this sequence. And we've been introduced to this whole lobby, and now we have her come in.
And not only that, the music, the Sergio Leone-esque, whistling kind of thing, showdown, you know.
What's also really interesting, this is like, the next 13 minutes is all continuous time.
Yes,
which is just good for anyone who's writing anything.
And this is great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But this is great. Also, make sure to blow through the cheek and into the guy's forehead and kill everyone. And on your way out, make sure the guy's dead.
Right, I love the casual, just backward, you know, shot.
Yeah. Nice. Yep.
Jeez.
That's a double tap. Get it.
She's cool.
Get it, girl.
That's
right.
And if you've seen Zombieland, you know that's a rule.
Yeah.
And but the thing, she ain't fucking around. It's like,
Right.
Yeah.
Interestingly, she didn't cry when she saw her dad burned and all that, but she let herself cry at that moment as a part of her disguise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she's focused on her mission. She wants revenge. She totally has the ability to, and she knows she does. Mm-hmm. And that's that's the whole thing. It's very dissonant because we're saying that it's like a 10, 11-year-old girl. Like, what the hell? Mm-hmm.
And I like, and this is where he rewrites the Spider-Man line.
Which is?
Where he said, with
no
great
power
comes
no
responsibility. And he said, that's not true.
Right. Yeah.
Which is really what, at the very beginning of the movie, when he saw that guy looking out the window not doing anything.
I like the fact that we have no idea what this weapon is.
I love that.
I had no idea.
I didn't guess what it
not
was.
Not in the comic book.
Showed up.
Yeah.
This is not, that weapon is not
oh,
in the
it's
comic
not?
Book.
No.
Oh.
Does he show up here?
It's great.
And help her out or no?
Yeah, the whole ending of this is different.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, I love this.
That is some trick.
I mean, similar ends, you know.
She does. Oh,
but,
man. And she gets that and she pulls him.
That's tough.
Ooh.
Nice.
She gets him to shoot himself in the head.
I know, right?
See, that's where I was saying at the very beginning, where at times I felt like there needed to be more action. Like after that sequence, I was like totally satisfied. Right?
Well, yeah.
I was like,
that's
great and perfect and awesome. And this hallway thing is way cool too.
Mm-hmm.
What's the
music? The
music
choice. It's Superman.
Oh, it is. Okay. That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
And I like this. A hallway full of guys.
Mm-hmm. Swarthy mob enforcers.
Yes.
By the way,
I really wanted very to see you use that bomb thing, though.
LOL.
I was perfectly satisfied with what she's about to wreak upon these guys, right about.
Oh, yeah.
She's great. She looks at each gun.
A lot of the techniques that they use in this remind me of Equilibrium. Did you guys ever see that?
Oh, yeah. No.
Where the gun katas. Basically, you punch with the gun.
Yeah. It's like, that's a great movie.
Oh, it was. It was
Equilibrium.
An excellent movie. I love that, where he just falls and accidentally shoots himself.
Yeah, that's right.
It's beautiful.
That's tough.
I just like that the effects, I mean, they're merciless, and they're like, they're not squeamish. They're like, we're just going to do it. She's going to shoot him in the head.
And
she throws the gun.
Yeah. By the way, the style that she's using of fighting is actually the monkey style of wushu kung fu.
Okay.
So you can kind of tell that, you know, it's based on a lot of like Shaolin monk craziness and the chain whip stuff and like all that.
Oh.
For a second there, you think, oh, maybe she's having some mercy, and then click, no.
Yeah, I know. That was nice. She was going to take him out.
Yeah.
That grenade she's got, by the way, I noticed earlier, the yellow ones are smoke grenades. I kind of wonder why she didn't use it at this point.
Right. Yeah, I wish you would have.
But I do like the knife thing.
That's the knife thing's awesome.
He's like, what? I was going to wait for them to come to me.
That's right.
I would have never been standing against the door, unless maybe it's a metal door and, you know, bolts can't go through.
Yeah, I would never be standing against the door either. I feel you on that.
Yeah.
Especially with a firefight happening outside the door.
Right.
A stray bullet. I mean, come on. It may not even be intentional.
Whatever. That girl stabs people through doors.
Well, yeah, totally. Right?
That's right. I like how they're like, you're going or we're killing you.
Is that Adam Sandler?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Might be his cousin.
Ugh. This is awful. Oh.
You are sushi.
That's great.
I like that she threw both knives and they hit, man. Yeah. And he's like...
That fast. So she must have done with two hands.
Everything's under control. Let me just grab my giant bazooka.
Yeah. Right. I like it real calmly. Like,
See, now, the thing I didn't get, though, is if you got someone hiding behind a counter, do you shoot over it?
Hell no.
Well, I mean, they're trying to get around. I mean, as much as you can get through it. I like he's just taking the bazooka. It's like, I want to do it.
There you go.
Well, yeah. They're not as good shots as she is.
Right.
Well, and they're too scared to take a good shot. You know, they're too scared to come close into that room. They're freaked out.
Right, totally. Right. Okay, right. I gotcha.
Plus, the gun that guy's using is a shotgun.
Okay.
So
it looked like he was using slugs based on the fact there was like one hole, but...
Because who wouldn't say that? I mean,
yeah,
come
on.
Come on. If he didn't say that, I'd be like, oh, this movie is so unbelievable.
And then... Yeah, really.
Awesome.
That's a great music cue.
Yeah.
And
incidentally, I hope he's wearing hearing protection because he would have no hearing left after this. He is right at the muzzles.
All right.
I think that's Elvis. Yeah, that's Elvis.
Oh, yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it showed him covering his ears.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Now that's...
I bet you it came with the instructions, and he's just wearing them, the projector earwear underneath.
They added the Gatling guns. All right. Those weren't with the
rocket. Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if you really sell that many, the Gatling guns.
Hopefully Hit Girl clued him in.
Yeah.
Okay, that kicked ass.
And I love the applause that they left in there, which is very fun.
I mean,
come on. That was great.
That was... That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it.
I love the
way
he's looking around like, is this real? Is this real life?
Right. Yeah.
And the weird sounding bazooka. Because it wasn't.
Nice snarl.
I love this, because this is a very classic, you know, kind of super team up kind of thing where you pick who's going to be your enemy.
Right.
Who are you going to fight?
Right.
And with no dialogue and just like looks, you know.
And this is where I started really feeling bad for her, because you know she can do it, but she's totally out. She's outsized completely. And it's totally got everything on her.
Yeah. Because when you come down to like
physical
relatively
force.
Equal skill.
Yeah.
In
right,
in
she's
training,
just a little girl,
and then you add a super duper height and weight advantage. Speaking of which, I question some of the physics of her moves, because a lot of the moves she does, where she throws people around and stuff, depend on body.
What about
weight.
Where she just ran up the wall?
Yeah, that was cool.
That was
totally
insanely
doable.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh man,
get it.
She's
girls
she's,
bite.
She's
by the way,
everything
that is a total real girl fighting tactic. When you're outsized and you're outnumbered,
you bite.
Yeah. Totally.
And then you pull hair.
Right?
In that order.
And if you know where to bite, you can bleed them out. Just saying.
Yes.
Duncan. By the way, these techniques she's about to use are actually Kali techniques. Block with, like, redirect, strike the artery, like that right in the...
Wow.
She missed, but she could hit the carotid artery right up under the bicep right there.
Right.
I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. I just learned that the other day. Mm-hmm.
Duncan, I'm always your friend, even if we ever get in an argument. I'm still your friend.
All right, fair enough.
I like how they both knocked each other out.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because they both
classic.
Have no skill. I love
right,
how over here you
dorks.
Have like the people with complete skill, right. And on the other side you have...
they knock each other out.
Yeah, they just knock each other out. They don't even know what they're doing.
That's good stuff.
But that's the point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here, I mean, this was just awful watching this. Here she is. Oh, it's like you're rooting for her. And it's like, how could she possibly win against him?
Because she's the good guy, Sarah.
Well, no, I know, but physically, I understand. But the thing is, I really felt for her. I mean, I felt bad because she's a little girl, and I mean, I know she's capable, but still.
But these are one of the few moments in the entire movie that you really are taken outside of it and realize she is just a little girl.
Well, but that's the point. I mean, I think it was intentional, and that was mm-hmm. very effective.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Very effective. And it's like. Oh,
I do love that.
So bad. Yeah.
It would have been cooler if his son had heard him say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just. See? He answered my question.
Right? That is so cool.
Yeah. It's really.
Right into the next building.
It's
oh, no,
really
not
cool.
Even. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Midair.
They didn't want to pay for another building damage.
I guess. Man. Sweet. By the way, it took me 2 tries watching this movie to notice that she had knuckle dusters on.
What are knuckle dusters?
Brass knuckles, but they're not really made of brass anymore. Those are probably made of titanium.
Okay, so he doesn't have lights on his gloves. It was just metal over the knuckles that I saw earlier, and it was reflecting.
Yeah.
Would've admit it, cooler. You wanted him to have lights on
I
his
wanted
gloves.
Him to have some little LEDs. And, I thought it would take it up a notch.
This is great, because what's he going to do? Well, we see the birth of a supervillain.
Right,
yep.
Basically.
Yep.
And then, because he's now...
Yeah, Harry Osborn moment.
Because he hasn't killed yet,
and
but
now
he was
ready.
What
do we have Kick-Ass do? He flies away. Like Superman.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing he can do about it.
No, but I mean, it's the whole... I mean, it's harkening back to this whole flying thing. Even though it is a jetpack. So he's flying away like a superhero.
Right.
Albeit in the relatively real physics world.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively.
And it's nice, too, because it gives us, like, a minute to process the whole fight scene, which was, like, sensory overload.
Oh, totally.
This is the first time.
This is all Toronto, by the way.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, this is Toronto.
Yeah, it clearly does not look like New York, but...
it does not.
If you've never been to Toronto or New York, I guess you would buy it.
Yes.
Sure.
I haven't either. I've actually been to
New York
when I was in eighth grade, and that's it, so I totally bought it.
I wasn't even thinking city when I saw that.
But I like that sometimes.
You're not supposed to.
I like in comic book movies where they use more than one city.
Right. Yeah.
Because it does gives you the effect that
it's
somewhere else. It's somewhere out of our normal, plane of existence.
Right. Mm-hmm. I like he's got his stature. He's standing tall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not because he's forcing himself to, like before, you know, just out of pride.
Yeah.
It's cool that she knows that.
Yeah.
Like, how many kids that age would know their parents well enough and have been nurtured well enough to know that? And again, how twisted is that? That the stuff he taught her was killing and death.
And the sun sets right behind them, of course. Yeah. Very and that's, nice. I got to tell you, that's likely a green screen. Maybe not. Maybe not. But
if it is, it certainly look good.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think some of the other shots, maybe that shot wasn't.
I do love her coming to school.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And that she's back with with Marcus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is cool.
Yeah.
It's the best situation you could. Like, you'd feel sorry for her being in a normal family.
Yeah. I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that she was going to shake hands, too. That's right. So cool.
And it's already been set up for the lunch money. It's like, okay.
She's all happy.
Yeah. And we have the comic books right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think?
So that's where Mark Miller got the idea.
Is that the actual front cover of the Kick-Ass comic book or no?
It might be of one of the issues.
It was the names, though.
I would have loved to see in that.
But that is what it looks like. Yeah, that's the font and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And?
Who said that? Where's that line from?
Joker. Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson. Batman.
Joke. Incidentally, I think it's interesting that his outfit is orange and he's got like that face mask thing because the Hobgoblin, which was the incarnation of Green Goblin after his father got killed,
he's very Harry Osborn. He's very Harry Osborn.
Mrs. Lazowski was Elizabeth McGovern.
I love Elizabeth McGovern.
That was Mrs. Lazowski.
You mean the teacher?
No, his mom
had died at the table.
one scene she's there and boom, yeah.
What else has she been in?
She hasn't been anything in a long time.
In a long time. Gosh.
She was big in the 80s.
So 80s and like, yeah, mostly the 80s. She just seemed like she was in everything in the 80s. She was one of those, you know.
Mm, yeah.
She was right up there with like Rebecca De Mornay and Madeline Stowe like in every movie.
Oh, wow. She did Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw that. Huh.
That was so fun. Let's watch it again.
So here's an interesting thing.
Kicked ass.
It's sort of, yeah, right? One thing that I realized that bugs me about the ending is that a lot of superhero movies end with, and we're off to have more adventures, essentially. Mm-hmm. Right. This ended, at least for the heroes, more like, and everyone lived happily ever after, which is more of a fairy tale sort of ending, which seemed less satisfying in a superhero film, because I want to know if I like the superheroes and I've been on these adventures with them, I want to know that they're going to have more adventures later, and that's a cool feeling to have. Whereas this kind of was like, oh, we're pretty much done with the superhero thing. We're going to live our normal lives. You know, the bad guy's not letting it go, but who's he going to fight now? We don't know.
I think that's how they are utilizing that in order to set it up for a sequel is saying, you know, these people are going to try to give it up, but the bad guy's not going to give it up, which is going to inevitably force them to pick back up the banner again. And
be the reluctant hero.
They're going to have to go back in because, I mean, that's, you know, basically Dave knows that he doesn't have to be kick-ass to essentially be kick-ass, so to speak. And, you know, he's kind of used the whole alter ego. It's kind of spent itself out with him. The next step, of course, will be when he has to revisit it again. How does that kind of correspond with his next, you know, burst of growth? Same with Hit Girl, and that's the whole thing, which is actually very interesting. They go away from it. Now they have to be, you know, come back into it. And that actually is
a pretty classic step in any, like, superhero's origin story, is there's always a point when they want to give it up.
Yeah.
There's always a point where they want to give it up and they want to have a real life. I mean, there's been parts in Superman where he just wants to be Clark Kent. You know, that's who he wants to be, but he can't because the calling is bigger than him.
Right. And that's the thing is they've fallen into, strangely enough, in two different ways into the calling, which is what hopefully the next film will flesh out.
So,
more.
I mean, the comic really doesn't end up that way. It's just more of a... You know, it's just less uplifting and less, like, continuing. It's less of an actual superhero story and more of just, like, this...
Coming of age.
This guy.
Yeah, and it's, like, I guess, like, this reality of this person just getting shit on over and over again. But I guess what's cool about the comic book is that he still ends up like having some sort of like respect for himself and some sort of journey, whether or not like that didn't depend on him being a successful superhero, you know, or getting the girl, or, you know, all the things that you would normally have. He didn't have to have those in order to have had this successful like inner journey.
And that's in the comic book, because obviously here,
I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, that's, it's not like as spoon-fed to you as like I just said it, you know, but I that's what I came away from it feeling.
That's
How different just in story was the ending? In
totally
the
different. It's like, totally different.
Can tell us, because
it doesn't, Big Daddy does die and they do end up going back and like
killing
and,
Frank.
Right. But it's all like one thing. Okay. You know, it's all you know, Kick-Ass being attacked and Big Daddy dying and then them coming back around and then them like having this like final moment. And I do believe she does end up going and living with the police partner and stuff like that. Right. And he ends up just like not being Kick-Ass and just going back to school and like resuming his role as just like the kid that everybody picks on.
Right.
But there's not like a jetpack.
They don't show
that Red Mist is going on to become some other sort of a villain. I think you're just kind of like left to the idea that he's also just going to like go back to being some sort of loser as well.
Right.
Hmm.
You know what I want to see? I want to see Kick-Ass 4 when Hit Girl turns about 18 and he's just engaged to, and Kick-Ass is engaged to his girlfriend, now girlfriend, and he's about to get married. They're what, 26, 27, 28? And then she's like, no, I love you.
But really, it's going to be like his friend has been waiting for her that whole time.
Right, right. Friend.
By the way,
are you listening? Are you listening, Mark Millar?
Right?
We
totally.
Are creating Kick-Ass 4.
4. 2, 3, just whatever, but 4.
Right. Just get to hear by 4, please.
Right. I would have, along those lines, loved to see that in that last scene where the two guys are making out with their respective girls. I would have loved to see that guy, like, you know, pull up a comic book that had her on the front cover.
Right, yeah.
Or a picture of her or something.
And just, I'll wait.
That's yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It was fantastic.
Yeah,
it was very fun.
Yeah, I like this. I still like this film.
I do too. I just, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, everybody knows I'm a big fan of blood and violence. And but I do like it when it's motivated and there's, you know, like a reason to watch it and
totally.
There's a story and it's fun and you know, it's not just blood and violence to be blood and violence because
Danny Elfman was involved. I'm sorry. Walk to Razul's was composed by Danny
Elfman. Yeah, it looks like he did one track.
Banana Splits. Hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I know. That was pretty much the end of that.
That was that was before my Dickies.
But Duncan, real quick on what you were saying, I totally hear you. There isn't the fun element at the end of the superhero movie, which is like, oh, I get to see more Spider-Man, or oh, I get to see more flying, or I get to see more. This is more of like, I'm done with this.
So I guess it's a blend of the two. It's a blend of the way the comic book was and a blend of a way of like a real superhero movie would be.
Right. Which to me, again, is sort of less than satisfying. But,
the gun on the walls was Andy Warhol's gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The opposing guns.
Oh, that makes sense. You're right. That did look like Andy Warhol.
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
Mm. Always nice to see the MPAA involved.
Baggett and
a lot of great people over there.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know who that is, but now I want to know.
Hmm.
Marv.
So.
And that was Kick-Ass. So Juan, what'd you think? Did it hold together?
Very much so. And I'm going to go home and dye my head red and get a mask.
Oh, so you want to be Red Mist?
I'm game.
I think it needs to match your shirt and the ring.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is because I would want to be Kick-Ass, but I just can't wear something that has something over my nose. Because I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and we had 20 to 30 degree below wind chill factor, and I have worn ski masks just to keep my face warm, but the breathing, and it's just not fun. So I'm not going to do that in LA.
So you're a villain.
I have to be. Purely for costume reasons.
Right.
I have to.
Costume preferences override.
But as a overall structure-wise as a script?
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Yep. The thing is, yes, the structure was right there, and then the creativity to the structure, very fun. I very much enjoyed it, and when my kid gets older, I look forward to showing it to him.
How old?
13, 18, 19, 21, something like that.
13. One of those.
Yeah, older than Hit Girl.
13, exactly.
Yeah.
When you're older than Hit Girl, you can watch Kick-Ass.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Dunk?
What was the question?
I don't know. Any final words? What do you think of all the martial arts? That's my question.
I enjoyed the choreography. It, like a lot of choreography nowadays, it's a lot more satisfying than some of the older stuff, because a lot of times choreography, fight choreography, would be very messy in general, and they would assume that the audience really had no clue what they were looking at or had no appreciation for any technique. Whereas these characters had distinct styles, like Kick-Ass really looked like he didn't know anything except swing the sticks, you know. Right. But he had motivation, so that's cool. That's like all those people that think, yeah, well, I'm gonna kick your ass because I just like really revved up right now. Well, it doesn't work like that. You actually have to have some instinct, and that's got to be trained into you. But Hit Girl, I think, worked the best that she could. Interestingly, similar style used for her as for Black Widow in Iron Man 2. They're both smallish people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of use the whole maximized use of body weight kind of thing. Mm. It looks a lot like the monkey kung fu that I've seen. I think there's some other stuff mixed into it, maybe some Russian sambo or some maybe a little bit of jiu-jitsu also. Some of the leg locks and some of those kind of things didn't seem very kung fu to me. Mm-hmm. And then Big Daddy, his stuff was straight up military training, like, I'm going to kill you combat. It could have been a little bit of Krav Maga, but not that much. Like, it was just a very, very practical, I'm here to kill you and that's the end of the story kind of thing. It wasn't a, I'm going to hurt you so you stop hurting me. It's, I'm going to kill you. And that seemed to fit his character very well, too. Yeah. So I really enjoyed the...
And it looked like they were doing a little, like, Louisiana flip... Louisiana flapjack.
What?
Did they do any of that style?
Louisiana.
What's Louisiana?
I'm sorry.
Are you going to have to clue me in on that joke, buddy?
I must have been thinking of something else. Sorry. All right, go ahead.
I don't know what that is. Yeah, I mean, so, I really liked that, but I like that Nick Cage, I mean, it just allowed him to be really physical where, I mean, he's been physical in other ones, but he was really cool in this one.
Yeah.
You got to wear a costume.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. So. I always like seeing Nick Cage kick ass, actually.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I liked his scenes for that in Con Air. And what are some other ones? Oh, nuts. I don't know. I just have a general feeling that Nick Cage, like when he actually gets some fighting stuff going on, it's always enjoyable.
This I don't know. I kind of feel this is the most satisfying Nick Cage kick-ass
probably
role.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. And I also really enjoy him in a fake mustache. I don't know. That took it up a notch.
The mustache does it for you, huh?
Yeah.
Did you get like really really excited when you put the like extensions?
Yeah. I like that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I like the extensions, awesome. And I like how they are burned into his face later on. When post fire,
but I like that. He already had like the dweeby little mustache, and that he felt that for the villain he had to put the total.
It's so they wouldn't know who he is. It's just it's another layer of the
But I mean,
costume.
He could have put a whole beard, or he could have done something else.
He could have, but maybe that wouldn't have been as cool.
Sounds cool.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. Just like,
what do they do with his body? Because I was thinking they would have to not leave his body there, because if they found Big Daddy, it would be
probably
logical.
Probably that the cop friend took care of it.
Okay.
That's going to be my logical scapegoat answer
like
for that.
I like it. It was Marcus. Marcus took care of it.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I wanted to see a scene where they dragged the body and threw it in a dumpster.
Oh, but they wouldn't do that.
That's horrible, John.
Well, because they got to hide. Because if they find Big Daddy, they knew who the hit girl is.
Maybe.
Well, who is they and why are they looking, and why should anything that he's got on his person lead to anywhere? He probably would have been that character.
And his face has been burned
fingerprints
off.
Fingerprints, maybe?
Actually, you know, this is what I'm
going to... Maybe he wouldn't have fingerprints.
This is what I'm going to go with.
He has $3 million in a bank account.
But
offshore.
Cops don't get fingerprints?
No one knows where this place is, but Hit Girl knows where it is. So basically, they took care of the bad guys. Then they went back and they took care of Big Daddy.
Yeah.
And then maybe got Marcus involved.
I'm pretty sure
that
they did a Viking burial where they lit him on fire.
On a boat. Going out into the... ocean or a lake.
Yes.
Down the Hudson River.
And Mark Millar, if you're listening, you can also put that in Kick-Ass too.
And name the boat Heidi. That would be appropriate.
The Heidi.
And they'd have to put all the guns on the boat so that he would burn with all of his earthly possessions.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yep,
yeah.
There you go.
Oh, this is beautiful in my mind. I feel really at rest now. And then she can use the smoke grenade. See,
nice.
It all
nice.
Goes together.
Nice, yes, because she never did, and I was looking for that.
Yeah, why didn't she use the smoke grenade?
I don't know. It probably just looked really cool on her vest. Yeah.
Well, you know, she can't remember everything.
You need some yellow there.
Also, we kept waiting for her to use it, and she never did, so that was a nice kind of tease in a way.
Yeah.
I wonder if they wrote the whole scene, because they focused on her putting the grenades into the bag, and what they were labeled, stun, mm-hmm. smoke, etc. Mm-hmm. But then when she was in that scene behind the counter, there was nothing written on the grenade. I wonder if they wrote the scene and they got all ready for it, and then someone mm-hmm. on the day was like, hey, wait a minute, this grenade says smoke on it. Wouldn't she use that if she mm-hmm. had? Well, they're like, yeah. all right, fine, we'll just take it off.
It was probably just a continuity error, I would imagine, because mm-hmm. I bet you those two things were probably weren't even shot anywhere near each other.
Yeah.
But they keep
that, probably did everything on that one set, you know, in their gun room all at one time. So.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Sure. That was all done within a week. Mm-hmm. Heidi, what do you think?
I love it. I love it mm-hmm. just like I did the first time I saw it. Although there are, you know, a plethora of differences from the comic book series, I feel like the feeling of it is there. The energy of it is there. And I think that is always the most important aspect of any adaptation. You're never going to make something exactly the same. So as long as you can carry that torch and carry that spirit on, I think that's awesome. I'm looking forward to, which was just announced on Twitter, Mark Millar put on that his ongoing series Nemesis for Marvel has been picked up. Ridley Scott is going to develop that into a film. So we will get more violence and some more ass-kicking down the road.
Sweet.
Nice.
And also Kick-Ass 2, I think.
Yes,
they've said
they greenlit that.
They greenlit. So it's called Kick-Ass 2, I think Balls to the Wall or something like that.
Awesome.
All right.
I wouldn't expect anything less from these guys. And, I mean, this is the second time I've seen this, and it's still great. Still enjoy it. Still think they did a great job. I think the music going back to the comments, I could see where they added, you know, those story parts with the mobster, and it just felt like it's fine for what it was. I just didn't enjoy it as much as seeing Kick-Ass and seeing basically Big Daddy and Hit Girl, and then Red Mist coming into it. And I'm referring to them all by their superhero names because that's the only way I know them.
Well, it's the only
and
way they matter.
Well, exactly.
It's the only way they matter.
they don't matter any other way. Oh, that's right. Mandy McCready and Dave Lazuski?
Lazuski, yeah. He's just another Dave-ski.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, on that note, so ends another Film Grok. Thank you very much. This has been
Duncan K. Fraser.
Heidi Hilliker.
John H. Ruby.
And Serge Delpierre. Thank you very much. See you next time.